This episode of the Rick Emerson Show is made possible by our good friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans, candy the yams and spice the hams, and though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings, coffee grounds and potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window, it blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones, drippy ends of ice cream cones, prune pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy glumps of cold oatmeal and pizza crusts and withered greens and soggy beans and tangerines and crusts of blackburn butter toast and grisly bits of beefy roasts. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the wall. I mean, greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, globs of gooey bubble gum and cellophane from green bologna, rubbery blubbery macaroni, peanut butter, cake and dry curdled milk and crust of pie, moldy melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold french fries and rancid meat and yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last, the garbage reached so high that finally it touched the sky, and all the neighbors moved away, and none of her friends had come to play, and finally, Sarah Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state from New York to the Golden Gate, and there in the garbage she did hate. Poor Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot right now relate, because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout, and always take the garbage out.
It is 19 minutes after the hour of one, and this the month of Geektober in the year of our Lord 2010. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network. Hi! Above the milk packing district here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. Thank you for joining us today. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Somebody says via the text box, it was like a musical description of hoarders. Is this a reference to your wife-free kitchen at home? I hadn't really thought about that, but I suppose maybe that was a message being sent by my subconscious. That was the one and only, the late, great Shel Silverstein performing one of his best-known poems. There you go.
That's what it'll be like in, what, about 4.5 weeks?
Not even really. That'll be like that by the end of this weekend. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I have an astounding capability for trash production. You wouldn't believe the amount of refuse that I can produce in just a few hours. It's almost like a superpower. It's like a superpower that no one would really want. But I mean, you know, but still, you know, a magical ability is an ability all the same, Don. It's not my place to judge the. It's not my place to judge the skills that the good Lord has graced me with. You are listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964 if you would like to join us. 503-505-6964. 6964, my fellow travelers on the road of comedic whimsy. 503-505-6964 if you want to get aboard with your comments, questions, clarifications, observations, ruminations, ponderings, kvetches, whatever it is you might have to share with us on this Friday. It's 503-505-6964. We would like to welcome our newest subscriber. It didn't have a name here. It just I just got this from Cheryl, our chief of staff, who says, you just got a subscription from somebody in the Netherlands. So I'm assuming your name is like Flergen or Hegan or Glurgen, Zingen, something like that. So
Glurgen is a great name.
Yeah, I. So you know, whoever you are, Godspeed to you as you, you know, embark upon your new life as a Rick Emerson Show listener. Thank you.
Also, by the way, Seamus has popped up in the text box to say, I haven't listened live in 2 months. This better be funny.
All right. Well, no pressure. It's 503-505-6964. Thank you for joining us. 503-505-6964. You can also text us if you like at Skype. It's Rick Emerson Show. That is all one word. Rick Emerson Show. That is how you text us at Skype. You can email if you want. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com or Dawn, D-A-W-N, at RickEmerson.com. Were you just unhinging your jaw to eat a gopher?
Exactly. That was it. That was my lunch, was a gopher, and I had to unhinge
my jaw. You just did the weirdest thing right now. It was like you were Blofeld. You whipped your chair around so your back was to me, and then I just saw you open your mouth, and then your hands were sort of flailing around in front of your face, but I couldn't see what was going on because, again, your back is to me, and then you sort of straightened up. And then you turned back around, and you looked for all the world like Jane Badler in V, shoving shoving a guinea pig into her face.
I was
no offense.
I was cleaning something out of my teeth, and I didn't want to do it in front of you, so I turned around so you didn't have to see me with my fingers in my mouth.
Yes, because I might think you were occasionally messy. I might think that every now and again you and food didn't get along all that well in terms of placement.
All humans do, we all do these occasionally sort of disgusting things that we have to do as part of our bodily upkeep, and many of them are best done not in front of other people.
Okay. I'm just saying, I like to think that we have a comfortable relationship, Dawn, in which that, you know, you can pick any number of horrible green things out of the space between your teeth if you would, you know, if you feel like you have to. It's not like you have to, you know, leave the room or something.
Well, there are going to be any number of things that, you know, I would do as you know, relates to my body and its maintenance that I will not do, you know,
right,
in front of you.
Well, that's okay. I'll try not to take it as a personal slight. It is Friday. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can also text if you like. The text box is up and running at RickEmerson.com. RickEmerson.com. And phones are open at 503-505-6964. And that's one of the things I'm saying out loud right now, but I got to make sure it's actually the case. Wait. Yeah, there we go. Somebody has changed their status on Skype to Rick Emerson is, I tell you, my piñata. All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
What does that mean?
I guess. I don't know. We have here another status message on Skype. It's just always be cloaking. That's like if you're selling things to the Romulans, apparently.
That might be this guy. Actually, it's listener Andy, who asks, do our geek-o-lanterns need to be just one pumpkin? If, for example, I wanted to carve the Death Star blowing up Alderaan, could I have one pumpkin be the Death Star and one be Alderaan?
Yes, you could. Though there's no limitation on this. So you could do one. Here's the thing. Like, I'm just saying. Now, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to tip it in anybody's favor. So we're going to talk about the Geek-O-Lantern thing here in just a second. But let me just say this right out of the gate. You could do it like three different ways. You could do just the Death Star. You could do the Death Star blowing up Alderaan. With I would imagine two pumpkins of maybe a similar size, or you could do one pumpkin, which is the Death Star, and then you could actually obliterate the second pumpkin, just put it into shards, or maybe just like, what's a real small kind of a fruit, you know, or a vegetable?
A mangelwurzel.
Yes, or radishes, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And that could actually be, that could be the asteroid field that doesn't show up in any star chart that is, in fact, the remains of Alderaan. And then the pumpkin would actually be the moon that isn't a moon. That is, in fact, the Death Star. Fantastic.
And it would be even better if it was a video and you actually blew up the Alderaan pumpkin, which one can do, because I had some roommates who made a really cool video once of a used-up jack-o'-lantern we had, and they just filled it full of fireworks.
This is the best idea. We should completely recreate the Death Star blowing up Alderaan, but with pumpkins.
Yeah.
All right. Seriously, I'm calling dibs on that right now. Which, by the way, sir, doesn't mean you can't still do your carving. I'm just saying in terms of the actual filming and explosion. In fact, if they...
Actually, he says his plan was he was going to borrow a sledgehammer from the scene shop he works in and take it to the gorge.
All right. Okay. You know what? You have at it. I'm just saying, if you end up not following through on that, that we reserve... I think we're calling second place on that. So if you end up not being able to do it for some reason, you just let Rick Emerson know. We'll take care of that here. We'll talk about all things Geek-O-Lantern-oriented here in just a second. You are listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's Friday, and thank you. Draw near that you might be amused by the following objects of comedy and satire today. We have Stupid Criminal of the Week coming up. Stupid Criminal of the Week later on today. We'll do the top five. Today we're going to do the top five songs that Sarah Dillon's parents may in fact have been having sexual relations to while she was conceived. And that is because tomorrow it is her 30th birthday. Sarah Dillon turns 30, which makes me feel just goddamn old, by the way. Nobody tells Sarah this, but I've put together a photo retrospective of her time on the Rick Emerson Show that is not actually visible at the moment. I have it hidden, but I will make that album, seeable. Which is, I think, not actually a word. But I'll make a sort of... I'll activate that album here in just a few. But I've got a smattering of photos that show Sarah from, I think, the first week she was ever on the show up till... I think the last one was taken maybe the beginning of 2009, something like that.
So you created an entire, like, photo essay of Sarah's... a small photo essay of Sarah's time.
If I created a photo essay, you mean I right-clicked on some pictures and then right-clicked again and put them into a different section of my website. Yes.
I'm just saying, because for my birthday, you stopped at a convenience store and you bought me toilet candy.
I didn't buy her toilet candy. Do you see me? Do you see candy? Do you see a toilet? Do you see any confluence of the two right here? No. That is a thing that I would only do for you. You act like Rick Emerson doesn't think you're special. Rick Emerson thinks you are the most special person, in this entire city, Don. That's why you and you alone shall be the recipient of the consumables that are commode-shaped. I wouldn't do that for anybody else, no matter how much I thought Sarah wanted said toilet candy. She wouldn't receive. Plus, it's like I got one picture of you and you're covering your face. So
yeah, that's true.
It's not really like I could do that. I'd basically have to just do a bunch of like pencil sketches of you as a stick figure and then create like a pseudo photo album, out of them. So
which actually would be kind of awesome when you think about
it. I'll file it away for next year.
Can I ask you a question that has nothing to do with anything we're talking about right now?
Sure.
Just to throw you off track.
Is it going to put me in a bad mood?
I don't know. There's this thing.
Well, let's find out, shall we? Let's all discover the answer to that together. Should I get rid of all the? Should I do all the business here before we? Before you ask me?
Probably, because I have a feeling there's going to be a big, huge story attached to this. So sure. Let's do this.
Let me just take a moment here and just find my center. All right. The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you today by a series of fine business partners up to and including Mr. Michael Beatty. He is the owner of The Cleaning Solution. You can find out more about The Cleaning Solution. You can contact him at 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. That is how you do that. We'll talk more about him in just a bit. Stupid Criminal of the Week coming up. Top five songs that Sarah Dillon's parents may have been having relations to when she was conceived. Sarah and Greg actually will be in the studio later on. They tape Fun Employment Radio right here in the same studio we do. They will be on the show about an hour from now. Don Tickler,
I have a present for her.
Really?
It's in wrapping paper and everything.
Look at you. Is that Hanukkah paper?
It's all kinds of paper.
That's a menorah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I see. It's for every holiday.
It's for every holiday, and it says happy effing whatever on
it. Well done. Don Taylor's tracking the following headlines for you on this Friday.
The Chili is seeing the escape shaft near completion. Roman Polanski's victim is relieved he was not extradited to the U.S., and Israel is using dogs in ship interceptions.
And by the way, in case you were wondering what the Geeko Lantern contest actually is, you can go to rickemerson.com/pictures. You go to rickemerson.com/pictures, and you look for the gallery that is actually just called Geeko Lantern, and you'll see the first submission we've got up is from listener Dan. And I found out he calls it Kim Jong Rick. But apparently it is modeled on a picture of Joseph Stalin. So it is a picture of Joseph Stalin. And I didn't even realize this, but it's sort of a thing inside a thing inside a thing. Because a couple years ago we did the big speech on August 8th of 2008. And a listener had created, he just created a variation on a Stalin painting in which I was the Man of Steel himself. And so this is in turn This is a jack-o'-lantern based on a picture, based on a painting of Stalin. Except it's not Stalin, it's me, and it's called Kim Jong-Rick. So you can figure that out in your spare time. You go to rickemerson.com/pictures, you can see the first submission there. Again, your geek-o-lantern, got to submit a picture of that by the end of Monday the 25th. So you got about 2.5 weeks on that. So that is the end of Monday the 25th. Up for grabs, a whole series of prizes from thinkgeek.com, up to and including a $100 gift certificate. So you get those to us at contest@rickemerson.com. You can find out all the details at rickemerson.com.
And if you go to Think Geek, by the way, if you go to Think Geek and look at their stuff, there are like some just amazing, wonderful, brilliant things you can get with $100.
It is fantastic. We've got a whole bunch of stuff set aside. We've got the 11th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver from Doctor Who and the TARDIS USB hub. But, you know, with a $100 gift certificate, you could buy both of those things and you would still have spending cash left over, Don. Yeah. That's how much $100 will get you with ThinkGeek. So go to rickemerson.com to find out more. Last but not least, and I probably won't have a chance to get to this right now, because we get all this stuff to get to, including Clown Watch, Job Watch, Penis Watch. I mean, it really is a jam-packed program. I have this story here. I swear to God, the headline of this is what to do when body parts fall off, specifically your eyeballs. Now, you may never have wondered about that. That may not have been a question that has ever occurred to you in your life, but it occurred to one man, and he chose poorly. So the thing is, his loss is going to be your intellectual gain, as before the program is over today, you will understand how to deal and how not to deal with an eyeball that has fallen out of your head.
Yeah, I was going to say, an eyeball doesn't really fall off so much as it falls out.
It kind of dangles, actually. It's just sort of a...
Well, it's
kind of
still attached by the stalk.
Sort of a bulging followed by kind of a... I would imagine. Yeah. And so there's really two, I mean, probably more than two, but immediately in the flowchart of how to deal with an eyeball that has come out of the front of your face, there's two different ways you can deal with that.
Oh, God.
He chose the wrong one. So you'll find out more about that later. So just whatever you do, don't let that image just sort of sit inside your head and ferment between now and then.
This is upsetting me.
All right. You wanted to ask me something.
I did. Basically, and it works really well in the theme of things that are upsetting and listener submissions.
Okay.
And things that are things within other things. What exactly is the deal with the Rick Pig baby?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me something entirely different. The Rick Pig baby.
Because it's...
When you say what is the deal?
It's creepy and disturbing looking, and it has its own Facebook page.
Yeah, I didn't really know that until just now. Thanks.
And I looked at the pictures of it, but it has a Facebook page, but there's no explanation.
It just exists.
Of why it exists.
It's sort of there. It's like pre-Big Bang matter. It simply exists without a creator.
It hangs
in the void.
It's a pig that's a baby,
yeah,
curled up on like a platter, and then it has a really badly drawn sort of a representation of your head on it.
And it's got an apple shoved into its mouth, I think.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked that, Dawn, and by glad, I mean, I don't know what I mean. Glad probably isn't the word that I would go for there. Here's the deal with the Rick Pig baby, which is the thing that I didn't really ever think that I would be discussing on the air, and yet I should have known that it was inevitable. So when we did the listener party in 2008, the Emerson's 11, which was the roast, I'm almost certain that's where this is from. Now, I could be wrong about this. This is one of those things where it's... We probably need a listener to really explain this with any sort of accuracy. Todd Workoven, a good friend of the show, he for a long time was sort of tagged as being the unofficial Rick Emerson Show historian, because he there's a lot of folks who are like this. I mean, our friend Kara is this way as well, where he just has filed away, I think probably unwillingly. I'm not even really sure it's a thing he wanted to do. I think if he could turn off this transcriptional ability inside his own head, he probably would have done so. But he just knows, like, an inordinate amount about the program. And I'm just... And I feel sad for him because of that, because that's knowledge that you can do nothing with. I mean, really, the only place that knowledge has any use is, like, actually here on the show itself. When I say, hey, Todd, enough about me, you talk about me for a while. And then, you know, and then he relates some sort of fact from the show's archives.
Now, there is a listener who comes in on the text box sometimes and names themselves Rick Pig Baby.
Yeah, well...
But that person is not here today, so they might have been able to explain it.
Well, here's the deal with that. So I believe, again, that it was for the roast. It was for the Emerson's 11 party we did back in 2008 at the Crystal Ballroom. And what we do every time that we have a listener party is that we started this after the third one, because there was this is a long story, but the upshot of it is that we made the mistake once and only once of letting a sales guy and one of his clients come up with the logo for the party. And I don't even know if I have a copy of it anywhere, but it was like the worst. It was this logo that was so bad and just so ridiculous, and it had so little to do with the show itself that it almost kind of did a slingshot around the sun and became great again in some Dada-esque kind of a way. It was clip art, I swear to God. This was the clip art for a Rick Emerson listener party. There wasn't any particular theme. In other words, there's no reason why they would have thought that this was the right art to use. The logo for the party, which we were obliged to use because a client had come up with it, because this guy who I swear to God, a sales guy who referred to himself as the Bling Master, whose name is still in my, he's still in my iPhone address book for some reason. I mean, he's been in my address book like for years. I don't know why. It's like it's like my computer is attached to him, and it is like it's willing me to stay in touch with him. But the clip art was, it was a bad, cartoony kind of free clip art that comes with your copy of WordPerfect 2.0. of a bodybuilder wearing Speedos, but it was a cartoon. So in other words, it wasn't even like a photo. It was a blonde bodybuilder who was straining and sweating, although as though he was picking up a weight, even though he wasn't really holding one, wearing like tiny little briefs. Mm-hmm. That was it. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't lifting anything or hoisting anything that had to do with the show. He didn't bear any resemblance to me or anybody else on the program. It had literally nothing to do with anything involving the show, but the client just somehow felt that it was the perfect logo to represent everything this program was about. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but realize that's how little sense it made to us when the Bling Master showed up and said, "Hey, dog, I got the logo for your party. Yeah, that insurance company is going to sponsor it. Look at this. Woo!" And then showed it to us. And at that, we had a little discussion after the program, a little conference, as we sometimes do, and we just said, never again. We rang a bell and we chanted and we said, never again will we allow anybody who is not involved with this program to name or logo anything. So from then on, every time we would do a listener party, in conjunction with the listeners, we would come up with the names. So we would have the listeners submit names, we would submit names, and people in the office would submit names. But then we would always sort of make the final decision about, you know, what it was going to be called. And then usually somebody in the audience would create the logo for it. So we had, that's what we had, you know, Emerson History X for the 10th one. And we had Bloodbath and Beyond for like one of our Halloween ones. And we had like really just badass logos for all of those. So that brings us then to 2008. We're getting ready to do Emerson's 11. And somebody, and I believe, now I may be wrong about this, but I believe it was our listener Tom Sutton. I believe you all have probably seen on Facebook. He's spending money and time there. He's one of our super fans, and he created this Photoshop thing because it was a roast. So you know the Rick Emerson roast, mm-hmm. And I was a larger person that I had a little bit of flab going on. I was not the svelte physical specimen you see in front of you now. And so he created this Photoshop that was a baby. But the baby had my head morphed onto it, and then there was an apple shoved into my mouth on my head on the baby's body, and then the entire creature, which is the baby body with my head, had been put into the sort of, you know, had been shaped as though it were a suckling pig that was about to be stuck into an oven.
Yeah.
And then they called it the Rick Pig Baby. And I don't know if that's like a South Park reference, because there's that Man Bear Pig episode of South Park. So, but then they submitted that like 100 times as the logo for the party. And when that, amazingly enough, wasn't chosen, like when we decided to go, you know, a different direction and to pick something else, because, you know, maybe we didn't want to pick a logo that would horrify everybody in attendance because it looked like we were about to eat a child with my face. That then just became a thing that started showing up on T-shirts. It started showing up on like signs that were on the tables. It was like we left the back parking. It was in the back parking lot of the radio station one morning. We were having a sort of a staff barbecue at CBS, and somebody, and I'm not saying that I know who this was. I have my suspicions, but in the back parking lot at CBS, somebody came by and like wallpapered the entire back parking lot of CBS with just hundreds of flyers that all had the Rick Pig Baby on them. So we're trying to take, and as you just said, it's got a Facebook page.
I was wrong about the Facebook, but it's MySpace. Oh, it has a MySpace page.
Well, that's more fitting, I suppose. It doesn't have a LinkedIn site. What about a Plaxo page? But every now and again, not terribly often, but every now and again, it has happened that I will actually be out in public and I will see somebody who has a Rick Pig Baby shirt. And it's like, and at that point, I hate to be this guy, but I just hide behind a tree or a mailbox or something, or I just duck down an alley. Because that's just, it's just like if I'm with my wife or something, especially, that's just a conversation. You don't want to, it's just awkwardness. So,
You can Google Rick Pig Baby and click on images.
Yeah, please, everybody do that now, huh? So, there you go. All right.
Actually, wait a minute. There's a pic. One of these pictures has my face on it, too.
Well, welcome to the show, Don. Is it everything you dreamed it would be? Is it working out just as you'd imagined?
It's like a picture of an iPhone and the Rick Pig Baby and my head.
That's right. You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-505-6964. They love you in the strangest kind of way, Don. It's sort of a love you while they hit you kind of a thing. You'll get used to it.
Okay.
And then eventually you'll find that you can't live without it. It's 503-505-6964. Just because I don't really have time to talk about the whole what I did last night and whatever. Basically, I just sat around, just wallowing in my own crepulence. I mean, wash, rinse, repeat. That's what I'm going to do for the next 6 weeks. I'm just going to get to this right here, and then we will get to the news desk. Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler are going to be joining us later on. We'll do the top five songs that Sarah X. Dillon's parents may, in fact, have been having carnal relations to at the moment of her conception. Also, Stupid Criminal of the Week, Clown Watch, Job Watch, Penis Watch. But first, I have in my hands this story, which was sent to us, speaking of Rick Pig Baby, and of, we used to call them P1s, but P1 is sort of, P1 is sort of a terrestrial radio term, and so I've been using that, interchangeably with this, the super fan term, but Kara is one of our longtime listeners who passes us any number of horrific stories, including this one.
Okay.
This comes to us from New York. Again, I am reading this now because I believe that it's something that everybody should know. This is information that everybody ought to have, because you want to be faced with a situation and not know how to deal with it. So I give you eyeball advice here on the Rick Emerson radio program for Friday. What to do when body parts fall off, the headline reads. At a Big East tournament game in 2006 at Madison Square Garden, a player for the Pittsburgh Panthers went for a loose ball at the same time as Alan Ray, who was playing for Villanova. The player inadvertently poked Ray in the eye. Quote, "My eyelid went behind my eye," end quote. Ray wrote in an email from Italy, where he's playing for the pseudo Montegnaro team. In the ambulance, Ray says he asked why he couldn't see out of his eye, and then passed out. He awoke in a hospital. Quote, "My dad was standing over me and I was able to see," he remembers. "The doctor said that my eyelid went back into place on its own. It's rare, but an eye can become dislodged," said Dr. Stuart Dankor, assistant professor of ophthalmology at Johns Hopkins. "I've only seen one case," says Danker, a spokesman for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. "When it does happen, such as in a trauma like Ray's, the eyeball doesn't fall down because it's held in place by the optic nerve," he adds. "The eyeball doesn't pop out," he says. "If your eyeball becomes dislodged," he says, "don't try to push it back in. You could push the wrong part of the eye," and as he mysteriously puts it, "cause more problems," he says. "Instead, get to an emergency room as quickly as possible." He advises calling ahead if you can, and I think this goes without saying, ask if someone can be waiting to help you when you arrive at the hospital. The doctor will then push the eye back in himself. And by the way, so having read the story this morning, I was then compelled to go online and look for examples of people who had decided not to wait for the doctor's help, including one man in Hungary who apparently took matters into his own hands. In what they compellingly term a construction accident, an eyeball became dislodged. The man, who is not identified by news sources, attempted to, and I think this is maybe not the right way to phrase this, place the eyeball back in its socket. And I think that maybe makes it sound like a more gentle procedure than it really was. He didn't know the correct way to engage in this procedure, said an area doctor. He really mishandled the entire thing. There was significant trauma involved, including the near total deflation of his eyeball. Ray, for his part, says his vision was blurry and his eye was a little red for 2 weeks after the eye was dislodged. But his vision is now perfect. He doesn't blame the player who poked him. He was a good friend of mine, Ray says. He's from the Bronx, you know. All right, there you go. So once again, eyeballs, hey, don't push them back in. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk, it's Dawn Taylor.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
That's a near total deflation of the eyeball.
You know,
it's like an unattended rugby ball.
I'm fairly tough and have a really strong stomach, and yet I am actually queasy more often when we're, like, doing this show than at any other point in my life. Blah. Samantha Geimer, who was 13 when director Roman Polanski had unlawful sex with her in 1977, said she's very relieved that the filmmaker was not extradited from Switzerland. Polanski was arrested in Switzerland last year on a U.S. fugitive warrant. Geimer spoke to Larry King in her first interview since the filmmaker was arrested in September 2009.
The UN right now is considering some massive...
I'm sorry, this is... what's it called? King? Is that the name of this...
Geimer.
Geimer. Was this last night that she was on?
It says Polanski.
Actually. Oh, it says... Okay, that's what it's I'm sorry. That's sorry. There was a whole thing that just happened there.
This was just last night on CNN.
All right. So this is... but Polanski 1, are we playing here? I'm sorry, my browser is suddenly open in front of this. Here's Polanski 1.
Are you happy that Switzerland did not extradite
him? Yes. I'm very relieved. Well, if just the arrest brought such a ruckus into my life and into my, you know, really into my backyard in a literal sense, there's people in the backyard. I'm sure his coming back would just be 1,000 times worse. So I'm very happy that, you know, I think they did the right thing. I'm happy they didn't extradite him. I don't want to see him go to trial, and I certainly don't want to show up and be part of that if it happens.
You know, when you're this chick, the phrase "there's somebody in my backyard" has a totally different meaning as well. So,
well, she did say she was asked if she. Well, she did say he'd. He asked her if she'd protested during the sexual episode, and she said, "A little, not a lot. I was scared. I'd been drinking. I was alone. I didn't know how to handle it."
And also, she was drugged, so you know that would tend to quell any protests one might have.
One thing she did say, before we get to the second audio clip, she did say, if people want to protect children, then right now there are children being trafficked online in classified ads. They should do something about things happening now. Going after Roman Polanski doesn't protect anybody. It just distracts maybe from more important things.
I don't think anybody's saying we should go after him. Look, it's not like Roman Polanski's really a danger to anybody except good filmmaking at this point in his life. So I don't really think I don't think we're protecting people from Roman Polanski. I think it's the idea that you can't, like, drug and rape children and have us go, well, you know, hey, she was hot.
Geimer said she doesn't want to deal with the media circus that would surround Polanski's return to the U.S.
Why aren't you so forgiving? Why don't you want to see him put away?
Well, I don't particularly forgiving. I mean, okay, I suppose I'm a pretty forgiving person. But he served his time. I mean, he did everything he was asked to do. And we had a corrupt judge who was being dishonest. He had no reason to trust the system was going to work for him. And I've been so much more damaged by the court system and the media than by him It's just really like so much more damaged by the court system and by the media than by him. It's easy to forgive him. There's other people I probably don't forgive as much.
By the way, just apart from this whole thing, just listening to this interview, I really am, and I mean this with sincerity, because we've over the years we've poked quite a lot of fun at our friend Mr. King. I really am going to miss Larry King, because he just has. There really isn't anybody else who's doing certainly television broadcasting right now that has that kind of just the sort of gruff, plain spoken, you know, kind of Brooklyn questioning style that he has, where you get the feeling he just doesn't care. It's not like Larry King goes out of his way to ask inappropriate or uncomfortable questions either. Like, he's not, you know, he doesn't do it in the same way that like a Howard Stern does, where he just, you know, where he just wants to get people in a dark room and interrogate them about their sex lives or something. It's just Larry King does have a very like unvarnished style, which I find endearing. And there's nobody who does that. The only people who have those sort of personas now are people who kind of contrive it, where it's this like pseudo working man, like voice of the people crap that's like the Bill O'Reilly thing, but never comes off quite as genuine as when Larry King does it. Like when he just says, "Well, but with the raping and all, like, why not jail time? Come on, you know." And it's just, I mean, it's just so like ham-handed in the way that he does it. It's sort of it's kind of glorious in its own way.
He's just asking the next question that pops into his head.
That's the thing is, like, and I'm not saying he doesn't prepare for his interviews. I mean, he does, but he's just been doing it for so long that it's like he just, you know, he really does in the best possible way, just sound like some guy who's sitting next to you at like Sully's bar.
So what were you thinking?
So what gives with this chick? She doesn't want to put it. You know what he sounds like? Here's the thing. Larry King is like, let's see.
Why aren't you so forgiving? Why don't you want to see him put away?
You know, if he were just a little bit more aggro, he sounds like Phil Hartman's Frank Sinatra. Cue ball. What's up with the tearing the Pope picture? Come on. You know, he sounds exactly like that. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our job watch.
Here is your, is this good news or bad news?
It's bad news.
All right. Here's your job watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Minimum wage! Yeah!
Here's your job watch for Friday, October 8th, 2010. Don Taylor.
The job market has taken another hit. The Labor Department reports the economy lost 95,000 jobs last month, much worse than expected. Clint Greenleaf is chairman and CEO of Greenleaf Books, a small business owner. He isn't hiring because of the uncertainty of the economy.
I can't really leverage the whole business. I'm the sole owner of the company, and I can't go ahead and leverage myself that far. It's kind of a different dynamic with 38 folks. I want to make sure that I still have a business here to pay them after we're all said and done, once the recession's over.
He explains exactly why he can't hire right now.
The reason why I'm not hiring is because of all the uncertainty. There's so many new taxes and laws coming out. It scares me a whole lot. We provide great benefits to our employees. And if I bring on a whole new staff and that changes, our health insurance, for example, went up 20% this year alone.
This is that thing that, you know, there was that story that came out yesterday where somebody's saying that the recession is not in fact over, because there was the story we had last week where they said the recession actually ended in June of, it was some totally improbable, non-believable date, like June of 2008. And just speaking for myself, I had a job in June of 2008. So the recession may have. It seems like it hadn't even really hit a lot of people by then. So I don't, unless the recession is like some sort of an earthquake at sea where by the time the waves finally get to shore, the thing is actually over. But then there was just something on CNN last night. It wasn't Ali Velshi, but it was some guy who was sort of in that mold who was on CNN saying that, no, that's a bunch of bupkis. It's still raging. It could get even worse. So there really just seems to be, no unanimity on this about whether the recession has actually come to an end or not.
No, I think all you have to do is just ask pretty much anyone who is in the middle class or lower. It's like, you think we're still in a recession? Yes, they will say. Yes, indeed. Yeah. I can't afford to buy things.
All right. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
Israeli forces will use dogs when boarding ships trying to break the Gaza blockade in the future. The decision is in response to the bloody confrontation on the Mavi Marmara on May 31st, the Jerusalem Post reported, 9 Turkish pro-Palestinian activists were killed, Israeli commandos were attacked, and Israel faced global condemnation. Military planners see boarding operations as the trickiest part of intercepting aid ships. In future operations, specially trained dogs will be put on such ships, first to ensure commandos can board safely. Using the OKETS canine unit will require dog trainers and their animals to train together with naval commandos. The dogs are weapons in every sense, like snipers or tank shells, said Yehida.
Or that thing from Watchers,
the online military magazine. But they are biological weapons. They are animals that should be bonded with and trained for the missions they will face. During testimony before the Israeli commission investigating the Mavi Marmara incident, the chief of general staff, Lieutenant General Gabi Ashkenazi, hinted that snipers would be used in confrontations with ships carrying people considered violent and armed.
I'm so confused by this story. So what are the dogs doing exactly? What is the...
They're basically being sent ahead.
Go see if there are any landmines. Good boy.
Well, this is...
Bad dog.
They're going to be put on ships to see if they're going to be shot.
Okay. So this is... Isn't there an animal that we don't like? And of course, I'm talking about cats. I mean, can't we just find an animal that we'd be better off without and just, you know, send them off to do this? Why is it always got to be dogs?
Well, they're just horrible dogs, like Yorkshire Terriers.
just chihuahuas.
Yeah.
Just gonna, and the toy poodles that are dyed pink.
Yeah, horrible little dogs that no one likes.
We should totally do that. The next time we invade some just, like, broke-ass country, they can't possibly put up a defense. You know, I mean, a country that... And I don't mean a country that we think we're actually going to be able to take over. I mean, a country that we can really take over. Like, just for our own amusement, or maybe just to, like, okay, I got a great idea. Because as Eddie Izzard once noted, one of the things about battle is the element of surprise. But one of the other things I think is just having the rest of the world thinking you're a little crazy. I think if the rest of the planet, because that's the whole thing about terrorists, right? Is that why we're so afraid of terrorists? Because they're nuts. They don't seem to come from any place of rationality. So there's no, we can never get our heads around their plans because it doesn't seem to spring from any kind of logic, at least in our, you know, the way that we view it.
They're like a nutty girlfriend, only with guns and bombs.
Right. Exactly. They're like some skank that you banged once in a bar and then just keeps calling and showing up, even though you thought it was clear to everybody that it was just a one-time thing. And then she's got, like, C4. So that's what makes it so freaky. So it would help us if the rest of the world viewed us that way, if they were just like, I don't know, the United States, they're crazy, which is sort of the great thing about, like when Nixon was in office, because you got the sense that he would just annihilate, like, any country on earth if he just got up, you know, Nixon's in a bad mood. And just a quarter of the planet blows out. And we've really lost that. We haven't had that since Reagan, I think.
No. You bring Hillary Clinton in, you elect her vice president, that could scare people pretty bad.
I just think that here's what we could do.
If she was president, people would just be terrified.
I think the next time we go to invade a country, and we're going to be doing like an air assault or like the shock and awe thing, you know, we're going to be dropping like, you know, a lot of bombs from, you know, fighters just overhead just to sort of, you know, just to, you know, to the initial strike, we ought to just drop like tens of thousands of brightly colored pink toy poodles that are strapped with explosives. Just because imagine if, like, you're just some guy in some other country. You know, you're in Blagrovia or whatever. And you're just like, I don't know, the pig dog American will not, they will not dare to attack us here. And, you know, and then you look up and you go, why is sky filled with pink poodles? Holy God! And then everything... I mean, word of
and
that.
And something that makes no sense, like cantaloupes. Poodles and cantaloupes.
And you know that would end up on YouTube, you know, with, you know, the obligatory yakety sax underneath. Like, imagine if that was, you know, and the rest of the world was forced to report, you know, the United States today dropped tens of thousands of brightly colored pink toy poodles on the tiny nation of Blagrovia. Everyone in the principality appears to be dead. The United States then dropped billions of cantaloupes without explanation and then just moved on. I think people would think twice and like five times before they screwed with us ever again. Even nobody ever writes down these ideas. I say these, they go out into the ether and then they are ignored by everybody. Speaking of dogs, we didn't really get a chance to do because at the beginning of the show we were talking about the Geek-O-Lantern and then what not to do when your eye sort of out of your head.
Don't make that noise.
All I really have to say about what happened last night is, so we had some visitors in the studio yesterday. Our good friend Jenny Hieronymus came by, and then Laura and Steve, who are two longtime listeners, who It's a long story, but I met Laura. I met her via Peter Carlin. And it's a long story. And so she had sent me this email. She's like, hey, I'm going to be in the neighborhood. Can I come by? And, you know, you're always saying, come by and say, take the 2 cent tour, you know, whatever. And then I said, sure. So she and her friend Steve came by and they were hanging out. And she works at a veterinary clinic where they specialize in I swear to Christ, I'm not making this up. This is really just a side note. But they not only do arthroscopic, is that what you call it?
Yeah, arthroscopic.
Where you just get like you got a bum knee or whatever?
Well, the arthroscopic surgery is where you just cut a small little incision and then you go in and they use the scope so they can see what they're doing.
And so they do like hip replacement yeah. and whatever on dogs. And then they also use stem cell treatment on dogs, which is fine. It's not like, you know, dogs deserve health care too. Sure, why not? But it's sort of absurd that dogs can get stem cell treatment and yet I'm the dog's owner, presumably cannot. But we were talking about the dogs. And so, you know, of course it was you. And I don't think that Steve guy had any dogs, but it's like you do and I do and Laura does. So, of course, we were all just sitting in a circle, just basically nerding out with each other. But let me show you photos of my dog that I carry. And it's like on my MacBook, I carry around like 170 photographs of my two dogs, like for no reason, because there's never, unless you really are in a room of nothing but dog owners, there's nobody who ever wants to see those. And then she was kind of, she actually brought some, jerky of various varieties, which I believe is actually for humans. And then she'd actually brought a couple dog toys as well. And I took them home. I haven't given it to Max or Philo yet because I gotta be in the room when that happens. Because if Max goes crazy, then it's just like a whole, then it's a whole thing. That's like, I gotta get like a taser and a net and whatever. But I didn't really have a chance. And the reason I didn't have a chance is because, I should have, and I don't know why I don't see these things coming. So, you know, Laura is out of town. I'd taken her to the airport because she's going to be in Turkey or whatever for a month. And that was yesterday. It was Thursday morning. So on Wednesday night, I ordered because she was busy packing. And she's like, well, you know, like order us a pizza because I'm going to be at home packing my suitcase and whatever. So I deliberately ordered like the largest pizza on earth, knowing she wouldn't really have a chance to eat most of it. And then knowing that on Thursday and Friday and, you know, Saturday and for the next few days, I would have pizza to eat. I walk in the front door of my home yesterday.
Oh, God.
And what to my wondering eye should appear. And it's that thing where I open the door and I don't even see the goddamn dog. I just see Max's tail vanishing around a corner because he knows. And he knows that I knows that he meant it. And it's like the pizza is on a thing that it's like 7 feet off the ground. He's the size of a shoe. I don't. Unless he really has taught Philo to stand, like, on two legs, and then Max is just using him as some sort of fur-covered ladder. I don't know how he's able to get things. I might as well have put the pizza on the refrigerator. That's how high off the floor it was.
Plus, a pizza box with leftover pizza would weigh about as much as he does,
It was a massive pizza. It was a full-on, large pizza that had, I think, two slices out of it. And yet he somehow reached it and pulled it onto the floor. And I know Philo didn't do it. Because Philo doesn't do anything like that because he's just terrified of every object on earth up to and including like himself and his own shadow. So anyway, so it's like I just walk in and you and I have talked about this where it's like the dog doesn't necessarily, he doesn't know right from wrong as such, but he does, I think, sense the vibe when he has done something that has displeased you. Because I walk in and I went, oh, for the love of, you know, and I just see him vanishing into the, so now I've just got like, and he had the entire day to be tracking tomato sauce into the carpet of my home. So now it's like I've got some weird, it's like one of those paintings that somebody, just, you know, one of those stories that happens every couple of years where somebody tries to fool an art gallery by just having their, by having it like, you know, like chickens or their 2-year-old paint something by waddling, you know, around and paint it then on a canvas. So my entire carpet has been a canvas upon which my dog has painted with pizza sauce. Anyway, so I'll be calling Michael Beatty of the cleaning solution. That's really the point of all this. 971-533-3211. And because you don't always anticipate these wondrous moments, because you don't really know when you're going to get a chance to to use his services, you want to have that phone number handy. It's 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. He is a proud business partner here at the Rick Emerson Show. In fact, the first sponsor we had at the Emerson News Network is a longtime listener, and we are glad to be partnered with him. And he does, the carpet, upholstery, Maybe all of the above. Tile, your walkway, your flagstones, anything your dog has access to. He can clean, he can get it looking the way it used to, and he can keep it looking good as well. 971-533-3211. Mr. Michael Beatty, the cleaning solution. Tell him you heard it here, won't you, please? Let's do like one more here, and we'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Still to come later on today, we have Stupid Criminal of the Week, as well as Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler, who will be in the studio with us. This is Don Taylor.
European researchers say pulses of high-frequency sound have been found to significantly speed up the healing of broken bones. In a study, patients with fractured shin bones, or tibias, that had not healed properly after 4 months were treated with ultrasound therapy. Over a period of 16 weeks, the treatment resulted in 34% greater bone density at the injury site. A small emitter connected to a handheld controller delivers the treatment, called LIPUS, for low-intensity pulsed ultrasound. Therapy sessions in the study, conducted by a team of German scientists, last 20 minutes each day. The findings demonstrate significantly greater progress towards bone healing after the treatment compared to not using the treatment, said a consultant. The delayed union, the knitting together broken bones, occurs in about 4.4% of tibial fractures, and this would be very, very good for that.
You know, I'm not saying that this story isn't true. It obviously is true. It seems like they're really onto something here. But stuff like that just weirds me out, because it doesn't seem like there's any reason that ought to work.
No.
And so that's one of those... That's like when you discover, you know, like a sort of glitch in a video game. Like, you know, it's the sort of Konami code of, you know, of healthcare treatments. You know, or like some backdoor, like some God mode thing, like a no-clip mode in Doom that they left in and they forgot to take out. There's no reason why sound ought to make your bones knit together faster.
No.
And yet it does. So that was like a little bit of a, like, early code that God forgot to remove from your DNA before he created you.
Can I share with you something just really horrible that I wasn't going to talk about on the radio, but that now I feel like I must?
Well, I did talk about deflating eyeballs, so go ahead.
Okay. As you may or may not be aware, you, Rick Emerson, I've been having the skin problem on my foot, my left foot. I have eczema or psoriasis. It could be probably psoriasis, because I used to have psoriasis as a kid on my left foot. And it comes and goes, the badness of it. And lately it's been really terrible. And so I've been trying to figure out...
Is it pronounced eczema?
Yes.
Okay.
Eczema.
All right.
And, you know, it's basically an autoimmune thing where you create more skin cells than your skin can slough off.
It's like a very, very, very advanced case of dry sort of build-up skin.
Right. And it's really itchy. It's red and it's itchy, but if you scratch it, you can make yourself bleed, and it's horrible. So I've used various, like, creams and ointments and things on it and tried to fix it. And finally, I reached this point where I was just completely desperate trying to figure out what to do. And I'm looking on the internet trying to find a good psoriasis remedy, something, some homegrown thing. And I come across urine therapy, where it explains that you put urine on your eczema. Because... And I'm reading this thing, and of course that also leads me to this whole thing where I'm reading these weird crackpot Indian people who say that you should, like, actually drink some of your urine because it's good for you, which is, I will say right now, is never going to happen.
Attention advertisers, you too can be part of this fine broadcast. That is Bruce@RickEmerson.com. Bruce@RickEmerson.com.
But the thing is, as they point out, urine is actually sterile. And it's full of all kinds of vitamins and stuff, and the B vitamins and things that you didn't use. And so out of just sheer desperation of figuring it's the privacy of my home, nobody's going to know. God knows I won't talk about this on the radio
when
later.
When was this?
Well, I did it for the first time day before yesterday, and I will be damned if the next day I hadn't noticed, like, huge improvement. And so last night, I did it again. And... goddamn, I gotta say, it's actually making a huge difference. It's actually healing my foot.
Okay. So, A, I don't even know. Q, I can't believe you didn't tell me this when it actually happened. This is today's Friday, so you did this Wednesday night?
I wasn't going to talk about this.
Yes,
I wasn't originally going to talk.
You say that, but, like, you know that's not true. Why do you got to lie to yourself like that?
Well, first of all, what if it hadn't done any good? Then it would be I would have just peed on my foot for no good reason.
It's so much the better. I mean, for me, not for you. This story would have been an even greater tale to tell. So this is, was it Wednesday night you did this?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're saying... I almost feel like we should wait for Greg and Sarah to be in the studio here, but I have a feeling that we'll get back to this regardless. So is it... Was this like in the shower where you, I'm presuming this is in the shower.
Well, no. Well, it was in the bathroom.
Oh, but I mean, okay, yeah, but I mean, you were standing in the
I didn't actually pee on my foot.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Is that or whether it was like into a cup of some kind?
Yes.
And then you, now is it where you soak your foot in urine?
No, you just, I just put some of it on a, like a paper towel and I dabbed it on. I just made sure I got some on there and then let it dry and.
No, but you can't say you just put it on a paper towel because, like, where was it that?
It was in a cup. I collected it in a cup as one does.
When you say cup, no, see, when you say collecting in a cup, that's like when you're searching for bottle caps and you're walking down the street. You're collecting
it in a cup.
All right. You peed in a cup and then you were daubing the urine onto your foot.
Yes.
How long did it take for the, this is the sexiest conversation ever. How did it take for the, how long did it take for the psoriasis to, when you, I don't know if it goes away, but I mean for the symptoms to decrease?
Well, it did, it's not gone entirely yet, but I did notice just a huge improvement the next morning. I did it at night and I noticed a huge improvement the next morning. And then I went about my day and one of my problems tends to be, because if you have something like this, if you are a listener, you know what it's like. My feet are in, like, socks in my shoes all day, and they get kind of hot and sweaty. And so it's like in the evening, my feet are like, ow, itchy, itchy, ah. So last night when I got home, took off my shoes and socks, not itchy, not problematic. They felt great. And then last night before bedtime, I did it again.
Now, was this a, so you're doing it preemptively now? You're doing it as, like, a prophylactic sort of a thing to keep it from coming back?
Last night I went, you know, well, no, it hasn't healed entirely yet. I mean, it was really bad.
No, but you know what I'm saying. In other words, are you going to? Is this a thing you're going to do in the future when the symptoms manifest themselves, or will you do it on an ongoing basis to hopefully to keep it then from recurring?
I think it's more of a cure than an actual, like, you know,
not a preventative sort of
preventative thing. Yeah.
All right. I mean,
but I spent some time like researching this on the internet to so that I wasn't just falling for like one crackpot's website.
How do you research urine application on the internet?
You Google urine therapy. And, you know,
did you just find like a
urine
ton of
psoriasis, that sort of thing.
I guess maybe psoriasis would weed out all but the strangest porn sites. I was going to ask if you just had to wade through just like a billion fetish pages.
Yeah,
to
I didn't just Google pee on my feet because that would have come up with all kinds of things I don't want to know.
Well,
about.
Here's the thing about that is it's actually maybe not as crazy as it sort of sounds. I remember seeing, I think this is one of those things that Madonna said when she was on Letterman. Madonna had this really notorious appearance on David Letterman, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago now, but where Madonna was on the Letterman show and she, I think she called him an a-hole. Cher did that at one point too, but Madonna was on the Letterman show and she said it was when she was doing the Truth or Dare movie, and so I think she was out there generating a bit of controversy, and so one of the things that she was talking to Letterman about, Letterman's like, so Madonna, tell me about your new movie, and she's like, no, I'd rather talk about how I whiz on my feet in the shower. And she just
well,
wanted.
She was drinking it. She was one of those people that was drinking urine.
Well,
wasn't
she well, when Letterman
which is creepy.
Letterman was trying to get her off the subject, but she kept returning to peeing in the shower. She's like, you know, that's one of the great things about in the shower, you can pee. And Letterman, just, you know, was so desperately trying to talk about something else. But then she actually said at one point, I don't know why I remember this. She said at one point, well, you know, the thing is, it cures athlete's foot. And so, who knows? Maybe Madonna was onto something like 15 years ago. She was a trendsetter even then.
Well, and the proponents of this do say that, like, you know, urea, which is the water, basically the broken down water that comes filtered out of your kidneys and stuff. Urea is a sterile substance, and it is used in a lot of, you know, medical things. And plus, and then in this case, you've got, you know, a lot of vitamins and nutrients and stuff that are coming back out of your body. I don't know. It's like one guy in the text box that says, he says, I have eczema on my scalp, but there's no way I am peeing on my head.
Yeah. So. People are filling the text box with questions faster than I think we'd be able to answer them. Did you tell Patrick about this?
I did. Well, actually,
did you?
I didn't tell him the first night. I didn't tell him on Wednesday. And then last night.
Do you notice something different about me, baby?
No, last night.
Is that Chanel number 5?
Last night I took a bath. He was out gaming. Last night was his gaming night. And last night I did all my stuff.
So he's at home. He's out gaming and you're at home covering your foot in urine.
Well, what happened last night is I went home.
What a cosmopolitan couple you are.
I took a bath and I was reading. I've started reading Jonathan Franzen's Freedom.
Uh-huh.
And I'm reading that in the tub. And while I'm in the tub reading, he comes home. It was about 11 o'clock last night. And he comes home and there's this cup sitting on the counter and he goes,
new kind of bath bead, hon?
Well, he looks at it, he goes, what is that? And I said, it's a cup full of pee. And he goes, and he just stood there and stared at me and was like, And I'm like, do you really want to know? And he goes, I don't know. Do I want to know?
Well, because
what were you? And then of course he starts asking me all these. What were you going to do with it?
Here's the thing about that, though. And every guy knows exactly what I'm saying. The thing about that is when he saw a couple of pee, probably one of his first thoughts may have been, oh God, is she pregnant? I really hope she's not pregnant. It'd be great if she wasn't pregnant.
Well, actually, he did say, are you okay?
Yeah, well, so. I think he's probably justified in asking that. I think probably any number of people are asking that even now. And so how did you explain it to him?
Well, actually, he saw the cup and he went, he picked it up. I said, it's a cup full of pee. He goes, ooh, and he puts it back down. And then he picks it back up again. I go, don't pour it out. I'm keeping it.
No.
And then he goes,
keeping it. Brando style.
And then he's like, and he just stood there all befuddled, staring at me like, he had no idea where to go next.
Well, because what possible explanation could there be? I mean, if he's, you know, before you tell him the medicinal purposes for it, when he picked, first of all, I mean, ninth
I
of all.
I wasn't expecting him to be home yet.
I would imagine. And then he picks up the cup of pee. God, at least you stopped him before he got to the whole, like, you know, what is this? You know, have you made a gin and tonic for me? Swell. And then you say it's a cup of pee. In the space between you telling him it's a cup of your own urine and then you explaining why that is the case, I wonder if his brain just started going into a hyperdrive mode where it was like cycling. It's like when you're searching for something on your computer and you just see it going through every file that it's got trying to find what it is you're looking for. If his brain was trying to come up with every conceivable scenario that would have ended with you having a cup of your own urine sitting on the sink while you were taking a bath.
Quite possible. I know that one of the things the reason he asked me if I was okay, I'm sure, is that about 2 years ago, I got like just a severe kidney bladder infection. And so there was a period where I was like peeing in a cup and like examining it for cloudiness. So he might have been concerned that maybe I had, you know, some kind of an infection again or something. But no, I had to just explain to him. I was like, okay. I said, all right, let me explain it to you. And he's like, well, all right. And somebody in the text box again going, is he sleeping with your pee feet?
That's a good question, actually.
Well, I made sure that it was dry.
Do you have to
before I got into bed because I didn't want my
bed to smell.
But yeah, like
you can't
pee.
Wash it off afterward. You have to leave it on, right?
Yeah.
So you're walking around with a pee foot.
Yes. I went to bed with a pee foot, although it was dry. It didn't, you know. But yes.
Wow. All right.
But the thing is, though, it made like this amazing difference. Way more than anything else I've tried, including like prescription medications.
Somebody's describing your pee as cloudy with a decreased chance of psoriasis. Cheryl is asking, are you deliberately trying to lose the 2 new subscribers that we just got in the last hour?
Maybe that's why we got them. Maybe they heard I was going to be talking about my pee foot.
I really think that this is an exciting new niche that we could be exploring. And this is the last thing I'll read about this, at least for now. We have this. You've already answered this. What did she use to daub it on? Was it a Q-tip, a tissue, her fingers, a sponge, a rag? Or did Patrick just offer to whiz on her foot?
No, I don't want someone else's pee on my foot. This would just be my own pee.
Cheryl says, I assure you, this is not the reason we are getting new subscribers. Trust me, there is no pee niche. That's fantastic. Awesome. She's Dawn Taylor, kids. All right, there you go. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964. This is the most ironic use of this music bed that we've ever had,
I think. I swear to God, the last thing I said to my husband when we were talking about the cup of pee in the bathroom, and as I said, and I am so not talking about this on the radio.
You know what you are? And I mean this in the best possible way. You're like the Gilligan of the Rick Emerson Show, in that, you know, where they're trying to get Gilligan. You need the dress as a woman so we can seduce that millionaire with the plane, and he can fly something. You can't make me. You can't make me. You can't make me. And then it cuts to Gilligan in a dress, you know, saying, "Do I have earrings with this?" Awesome. Castalia Language Center.
Should I be looking up how to say IP on my foot?
No, please don't. Please. Look up. How about, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. How about, it won't happen again? Or, I didn't know she was going to talk about that. In the meantime, Clara Grebel is a very intelligent, understanding, tolerant woman. Also a savvy business person, which is why she is allied with the Rick Emerson radio program here at the Emerson News Network and has been for quite some time. If you are going to be traveling the world, if you're going to be moving to a different place, if you just want to keep your brain in fighting trim, as they say, you can find no better way to do that than to learn another language. And, you know, and the thing about learning Spanish is, Spanish is sort of the, you know, it's kind of the perfect storm of languages, and, you know, in the best possible way, in that Spanish is relatively easy to learn. I mean, I've told the story, and this is absolutely true, about a Spanish teacher friend of mine who actually taught me to speak Spanish in less than, I mean, it was like less than 10 minutes. Now, you know, I didn't have the comprehension down, obviously, but the point is that in terms of pronunciation, Spanish is a, you know, is a language that follows its own rules. It's internally consistent. Spanish grammar, once you have committed to memory the parts of Spanish speech, which are far fewer than English, because they don't just make crap up as they go along, as we do in this fading republic. Spanish is a thing. Once you learn the pronunciation and actually how the parts of the language work together, you've got, 70% of what you need to get the rest of the way. And Castalia Language Center will help you learn the other 30%. So whether you are a beginning Spanish speaker, whether you've spoken it in the past, but maybe you need, a refresher course, or maybe you think you know it heads, and tails, front to back, A to Z, but you just want to make sure that you've got it all under control before, again, maybe you're, moving, or maybe you're going to be traveling somewhere. And they can find something that works with your schedule, no matter what day, no matter what time, and no matter what your level of acumen. And they deal with adults only, which means it's going to be people learning at the same way, the same rate that you do, and class sizes is maybe the best part about it. Class sizes are limited to 8 people, which means you're going to get much more individualized attention. So you can contact them at PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. Find out more about them. Tell them you heard it here on the Rick Emerson Radio Program, won't you please? Castalia Language Center, PortlandSpanish.com is how you find them. And they are a proud sponsor of the Rick Emerson Show here on the Emerson News Network.
Teacher's on your back, mom is driving you crazy. You got yourself a job, you don't exactly love, it's not enough cash you're making. Just hanging around, not much going on, Saturday night and it's raining. Friends are out of town, the bars are closing down, Sunday's gotta be lazy. Every day, staring at the rain, ramble on your TV. Whole pizza in the fridge, your pants no longer fit. Is that your dog there peeing? Friday night's alone, you're gonna see a show. I bet you hippies I'm playing. The only thing you know, you don't like this hellhole. Do you really wanna keep on waiting? You wanna step out?
gonna do a song that you never heard before.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans.
Lesson three.
This record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed.
It is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964.
Someone wants to know the name of this song.
This is this is Double D and Steinsky. That's another name. That's the artist who did this, and it's called The Lesson, number three. By the way, there are three, actually four different chapters to this song. They did four different versions of the song: Lesson One, Lesson Two, Lesson Three. This is actually Lesson Three. It's called The History of Hip Hop Mix. I'll actually post this online, but yeah, the artists are Double D, that is D-E-E, and Steinsky, and it is called. Lesson three, the history of hip hop. And really, for the pajama game song alone, I mean, they really. This is really one of the most famous songs in all of turntablism, as they say, in hip hop. This guy, half of this duo, Steinsky, is actually profiled extensively in that movie Scratch that came out some years ago. Anyway, so this is one of the real groundbreaking records, because it was one of the first. It was one of the first records made entirely from other records that had any kind of. I won't even say mainstream success, because obviously, you know, even then copyright laws were just so weird and convoluted that it couldn't really get a mainstream release. But it was sort of circulated very widely. You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-505-6964 and so forth. This is Don Taylor at the news desk, ladies and gentlemen, on this Friday.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
I believe it is time for us to do our Stupid Criminal of the Week.
Fantastic. Here is your Stupid Criminal of the Week for Friday, Geektober 8th, 2010. It's brought to you by MugshotList.com. MugshotList.com, run by a listener of ours named Andy, longtime listener and friend of the show, covering 19 counties in Oregon, 13 states, including Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Ohio. Always adding more counties and states. And, of course, full membership gets you full searching ability. You can browse through mugshots by category, like county and gender. You can view unlimited pages. And at the end of today's Stupid Criminal of the Week segment, we will announce this week's winner of a full membership to MugshotList.com. Here is Don Taylor with your Stupid Criminal of the Week.
A Florida man used water guns and water balloons to spray weed killer on his neighbor's plants because he was owed money for drugs.
A man where?
In Florida.
Well, it was sort of there. Yeah.
Bradenton, Florida police said Paul Ewing, 35, was pulled over Thursday for driving with a suspended license and admitted he had been spraying his neighbor's flowers and bushes with Roundup weed killer because he was upset about money the neighbor owed him for drugs. Ewing, who estimated the landscaping damage at $250, said he used water guns to spray plants in the front yard and threw water balloons into the backyard. Police say the incidents took place from May 1st to July 1st. As said, he was pulled over for driving with a suspended license and then shared with police that he had been killing his neighbor's plants because the guys owed him money for drugs.
Fantastic.
Ewing was charged with criminal mischief with property damage and released from Manatee County Jail after posting a $500 bail.
This is like the guys who, and this will happen about, you know, like every 6 months or so, you'll see this, where the guy will call the cops because someone sold him something that he thought was cocaine and it turned out to only be baking soda, or that someone just stole his weed. You know, he'd be like, I need to go. Somebody broke into my house and they stole my stash. And the cops go, that's great. Just don't go anywhere. We'll be right over. Stay right there.
Well, yes, that makes Paul Ewing our stupid criminal of the
week. Fantastic. There you go. That is a stupid criminal of the week brought to you by mugshotlist.com. And this week's winner of a full subscription to mugshotlist.com is Justin Turner. Justin Turner, you have won a full membership, which gets you full searching ability, browsing mugshots by categories like county and gender, and lets you view unlimited pages covering 19 counties in Oregon, 13 states, including Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Ohio. Mugshotlist.com. They're the ones who provide this, your stupid criminal of the week. Fantastic. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Excitement grew today outside the mine where 33 men have been trapped for more than 2 months as a drill carving an escape shaft pushed through the final section of rock above their underground chamber. Mining Minister Lawrence Goldborn explains the drill could reach the miners this afternoon if things go according to the plan. The rescue could begin shortly after that.
The scenario could be 3 to 4 days to start the rescue process. The rescue process itself could take 2 days, more or less.
So this is they were saying they were going to try to get them out by when? By Thanksgiving or something?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a couple months from now.
So they're, so it looks like they're about 60 days ahead of schedule, so that's good.
Health Minister Jamie Menelich, speaking briefly as he arrived at the mine, raised expectations even more by repeating Tuesday back to reporters who asked if the men could be pulled out that day. I'm sorry. Lawrence Goldborn explains the drill should reach the miners quite soon.
We are expecting the break in the next, within 44 hours, hopefully less.
The Plan B drill is just yards away from winning a three-way race to reach the miners with a hole wide enough to accommodate their escape capsule. The Plan A and Plan C drills had to slow down after repeatedly veering off course in recent days. Menelich said the drill paused this morning for a maintenance check just before the final push. New depth figures weren't released, but a technician working with the drill told the Associated Press that 128 feet remained before the drill breaks through to the miners at 2,047 feet below ground.
So that puts them, I guess, maybe, I was looking at one of the earlier figures. So I got there 45 days ahead of schedule, which is good because, I mean, I can't even fathom, just being in this relatively spacious room for people for more than a few hours a day really just puts me in a foul mood. So I can't imagine underground.
If there were 32 more people besides me.
that we couldn't leave ever.
Yes.
I'm just looking back at some of the text messages we were receiving during our discussion of your...
Call it a pea foot. Go ahead.
I was going to say your, I was trying to say... Podiatric maintenance?
Podiatric?
See, I was going to say podiatric, but that sounds wrong. Mm. But maybe it is correct. See, it would have been a lot funnier if I just had the phrase really handy. Anyway, this guy just says, I tuned in at the wrong time today, didn't I? I suppose it's all relative, sir. Let's see, how about this? When Greg and Sarah join you later on, please congratulate them on getting banned from Intel's corporate network. I get warning messages when I attempt to access funemploymentradio.com. They claim that it is dangerous to the safety of our network.
Oh.
Let's see. What else do we have here? We've got what is Spanish for please no more talk about peeing on Don's feet. Please, please, please. So forth. Oh, hey. So we should talk about this now before Greg and Sarah actually come to the studio. So we have, from the folks at General Mills, we have this box, this crate of like Bugle stuff that they sent us. So Don and I, we opened this yesterday when Laura and Steve and Jenny, some listeners, had come by. And we had totally, we'd sort of forgotten about that stuff until this guy Brock called us earlier in the week. And he was like, hey, you ever going to give those Bugles away? And I said, by God, we will. I'll send you some. So we'd set it out because this weekend I'm gonna just put that in the mail to Brock so he's got those. But the guy Steve yesterday, he says, hey, so what else is in that box of Bugles? And we said, well, there's the chocolate and peanut butter Bugles. There's this like fruit roll-up thing. And there's like some other stuff. And then there are these like jalapeno chipotle cheddar.
Cheddar Chex
mix or whatever. And he said, oh, have you tried them yet? And we said, no. And he said, well, do you mind if I try some? And I was like, have at it. And I don't know anything about them. I mean, I've tried the chocolate stuff and I've tried the caramel stuff, but that's about it. So So we opened these. We opened this Chipotle cheddar Chex Mix yesterday, and I know it seems cruel.
We weren't going to talk about this because the people at General Mills were kind enough to send us free things.
Well, I'm just saying. Now I don't even know. Now I don't know if we should talk about it or not.
Well, it's too late now.
He
opened the bag and he said, "Oh my God, this smells like BO."
It had an odor that was, it was not dissimilar to perhaps an odor that that might
a stale armpit smell.
See, I was trying to find a way to be more subtle about it. I was just going to say that when Sarah and Greg came into the studio, I was going to have them sort of try those independently and just but without biasing them or predisposing them to view the scent or in fact the taste is one thing or another. Just, and we should say, by the way, the chocolate peanut butter Bugles are like the best things we've ever had.
Yeah. And I love the caramel Bugles. Love them.
I mean, they are like some sort of starchy crack. I mean, they're fantastic.
Yes, the guest we had yesterday brought us a bag of the caramel Bugles, which I am more fond of than you are. And I took it out and I like opened it in the car. And I swear I ate like half the bag in the car on the way home.
Well, that's right. Laura, who was again, one of the listeners who stopped by, she actually, I don't know, I'm not complaining about it. I'm really, really not. But there's this, sometimes people come by and they'll sort of bring us stuff, which is great, but it's just sort of awkward, because I'm just some guy.
Yeah, it feels weird to have people bring presents for no reason other than we're just us.
And again, it's nice and we're very grateful and it means a lot that the listeners they feel so fondly toward us and they are they have such warm feelings toward the program.
And Sarah, was that her name yesterday?
Laura.
I didn't want to say Laura because I kept thinking I was thinking of Laura. But yeah, no, Laura brought us dog toys.
Because she's a vet and she works with dogs. And it's sort of the weirdest thing because really my personality for most of my life has just served to annoy and irritate people. They were not only not giving me things, they were actually just going out of their way to not have any physical proximity, to me at all. Just to not be in my immediate vicinity ever under any circumstances. So, but they came by and so, yeah, she brought some dog toys and some jerky. And then, in addition to the caramel Bugles, she brought us a box of the cracked pepper and olive oil Triscuits. And you may not have made it home. You may have opened the Bugles in the car. I didn't even make it out of the studio.
Yeah.
Because I actually said, yes, I'll save these for Friday when Sarah and Greg are going to be on the show. And we'll have these along with the jerky. And then it was like 5 seconds later that I was just opening the bag and just sort of, rooting around in them like some sort of starch-seeking truffle hound. So, there's that.
By the way, I gave my dog the Mr. Bill toy last night.
Which is a duplicate of the one that Philo has where you squeeze it and it kind of makes the Mr. Bill scream.
His if you squeeze him in his torso area, he does it. And Bella, it took her like just seconds to figure out that if she just bit the thing in the vicinity of around its waist, it would make that noise. And then it did. It went, "Oh no!" And then she dropped it and she wagged her tail and she looked at me and then she picked it up again. "Oh no!" And dropped it and wagged her tail. And that lasted for about 15 minutes before I finally had to take it away from her because that's all she was doing was she picked it up and shook it like a couple of times.
Until it made the noise.
But mostly she was just picking – she was just reaching down with her mouth and squeezing it around the waist so it would make the sound and then wagging her tail, then doing again. So I'm sitting there trying to do things, trying to work on the computer and just hearing, "Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no!" And I just was like, okay, give that to me now.
And I mean, it really is, and I'm a big fan of that. I like that dog toy, and it is, for people who haven't seen this, I think maybe there's a photo of Philo at rickemerson.com/pictures where he's got the Mr. Bill doll. But it's about 8 inches high, and it's a plush Mr. Bill toy, and it's not a squeaky toy. It's got like a little microchip thing inside of it, and when you squeeze it around the waist, it does the Mr. Bill scream. And the reason that it's great for Philo is because it took him about a month, but he stopped being terrified of it. And now he'll actually pick it up and it'll make the noise and he won't just shriek like a small child and run into the other room. But you do, with that toy, get just the tiniest little glimpse into what it's like to be a parent. you know, and when your kid has like 700 electronic gigaws that all screech and, you know, and howl and blink and beep and bonk like, it, you know, just all times, day or night, without any sort of provocation. And you realize what a living, breathing hell that must be. So, all right. Let's do one more here. And I think Greg and Sarah are actually, I think they have arrived. So let's do one more. We'll take a little break. We'll come back and we will welcome Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nilbert to the program.
Well, let's regale people with the clown watch.
Here is your clown watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson radio program. Here is Don Taylor with your clown watch.
In the continuing saga of Christine O'Donnell, it has been revealed that her father once played Bozo the Clown on an early version on a local television station.
Now, was Bozo a national thing, or was he a local? Was that a thing where they, like, franchised him across the country?
Well, here, let me continue,
fantastic,
shall I? It turns out, however, that her father, as a fill-in for Bozo, may not have had official certification to play him.
He was a knockoff Bozo.
Daniel O'Donnell told the Philadelphia Daily News that he played a substitute clown on the TV channel that eventually became Fox 29 in Philadelphia back in the 1960s. That UHF station was based in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. While Daniel O'Donnell apparently read the Bozo training manual, he never went to Texas to get certified by Larry Harmon, the Bozo franchise creator. Bozo Gate is the latest in the bizarre Senate race in the Delaware that features Tea Party candidate O'Donnell and Democrat Chris Coons. She gave a rare 10-minute interview to CNN on Thursday where she discussed some issues in general and made a statement about Hillary Clinton running for president already. She said, "If Barack Obama vetoes that the year before his reelection, he's setting himself up to be very vulnerable, and I've seen many Hillary for president ads running. So if he chooses to thumb his nose at the will of the American people and ram this unrealistic, unconstitutional bill down America's throats, then there will be consequences politically for Obama." I have no idea what any of that actually means. Anyway, but again, though, the latest in the Christine O'Donnell saga, Clowngate, her father apparently was an unlicensed Bozo.
And Bozo was played by Larry Harmon,
I believe. Yeah, Larry Harmon created Bozo and was the original Bozo. And then, yes, he would train Bozos for local markets and actually approve and certify them. It was a franchise.
So it was like some weird Krusty the Clown meets Hamburger U thing, where you actually had to go to like a clown college.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That's a thing that you hear referenced all the time. And you're like, well, you couldn't get into clown college with that. Is there an actual clown college?
Well, yeah, there's the Ringling Brothers, for example, has an actual clown
college. Is that the only one?
I'm sure that I know that there are actually college courses you can take
in how to clown.
Learn. Yes.
See, don't you feel like there's something we have to do with that? We have to locate one, or we have to get one of the, like, we should have a clowning instructor or something, or like, you know, Professor Clown come here and just sort of, you know.
I'll bet you anything there's somebody at Reed College that teaches this.
Oh my God! I have the best idea ever. Okay, let's all stop.
Take a breath.
Okay, here's the thing. I have the best idea, and you're going to resist this, but I urge you to hear me out. Don't judge, prior to understanding all of what I am discussing here. Just reserve your judgment till the end of this. I think that you, if we can locate this clown school, you ought to actually go through the clowning course and become a clown yourself. Because, because then it's like a Nietzschean embracing your fears thing. Then it's like you're inside, then it's like you're in the belly of the beast, so the beast can no longer, you know, you have become that which you, that which once, terrified you. You have become what you once feared.
Okay, but don't you think that something horrible could happen? Like I might just snap and become like a terrible serial killer dressed like a clown or something?
Probably not. But I mean, you know, but if so, then I can become one of those people who writes a book with Anne Rule, the clown across from me or something. But I mean, that might actually quell your fear of clowns. If you sort of trained to become one. Have you ever dressed as a clown in your life?
No.
See, so it's a new experience. You have no idea how you'll react, and it might be very positively. Come on.
I don't...
Clowns! All right, well, just think on it at least. I'm going to investigate whether or not there's a clown college in Portland. If there is one, we're going to pursue it. So just, FYI, just so you're aware. All right, here's your clown watch for Friday. You're listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us today. It is 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. The Rick Emerson radio program is made possible by a wide variety of business partners, including Squires Electric. Squires Electric are one of our brand new advertisers here on the program. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com. That is squireselectric.com. And it looks like it's going to be early next week that Joe Squires is going to pay us a visit. He's going to sit in the studio so he can regale us with tales of being aboard a submarine and all of the adventure that implies. And it's like he's already way cooler than I am because he's just got the picture of the nuclear submarine on the wall behind his desk where he can just sort of jerk a thumb over his shoulder and go, well, yeah, occasionally to put out reactor fires, but it's all on the service of my country. And then he just sort of, you know, goes back to being awesome.
And I can ask him to explain, like, amps and milliamps and things like that.
You know, because here's the thing about electricity, is that it's, and I know this is just a colossal understatement to say, electricity is complex. But, I mean, I just have no idea. Like in that Bill Bryson book I'm reading, he's trying to, and he's coming to town, by the way. He's going to be at the Schnitzer, I think, in November. So we're going to rustle up a little something with him. But, you know, like, the thing I never understand is, like, your body is electrical, you know, which is sort of strange and I guess kind of cool. But that's how they can use electricity to stop and start your heart. And, you know, and you can convey electricity and whatever. But it's like, I remember, you know, just asking people when I was in high school. I was like, you think I'm the king of dumb questions now. You know, when I was in school, there were no governors on me at all because you're presumably there to learn. So I was just like a full-on, I was like some horrible variation on Cliff Clavin where I was just raising my hand constantly. I mean, imagine being my science teacher in high school and just saying, are there any questions? You know, and then it's like I was constantly just raising my hand and going, if we're filled with electricity, why doesn't it shock me when I get into the bathtub? Thank you. And then just staring at the teacher, who doesn't know? Because no one knows that. I mean, that's a thing. They don't know. I'm not saying that the teacher was dumb. I'm just saying that's a thing that would never occur to most people because most people aren't retarded as I am. Most people are not just idiots. So if I'm electric, does that mean, like the potato clock, could you plug that into my ear and then would it run? And if so, for how long? I'll wait for your answer off the air. Thank you. You know, and finally, you know, like the ninth time, the teacher would just be like, don't raise your hand anymore. Just, you know, anybody but Rick. It was what she tagged the end of her sentences with. Fortunately, you do not need to understand electricity because Joe Squires and Squires Electric, they understand it for you. Now, maybe you do understand electricity. Maybe you are the guy who has, you know, the ability to do this yourself. It just becomes time consuming. It becomes difficult. You know, and then you have to double check and triple check and quadruple check everything to make sure that, you know, everything is going to work properly. So instead, you just do it the easier way. You can call 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. You go to SquiresElectric.com. That's how you find out more about them. They've been in Portland for over a decade. And Joe Squires is from these parts. He's from Washougal, which I understand to be somewhere in Washington State, even though we don't actually know the specific location of
you
it.
You can ask him where Washougal is.
Or how to pronounce Chemeketa or Chiketima. Whatever the hell that thing is.
If he knows the guy who had the bear in his yard.
Exactly. So if you find yourself with any sort of an electrical issue, and people have asked me, you know, when I say there's no job too small, I had somebody email me and they said, well, I think my toaster oven shorted out the electrical socket. It just doesn't work anymore. That is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. So if you have, which has happened to me, where you're plugging something into a wall, you do it 1,000 times, and then the 1,001st try, you plug it in, and it's like the thing doesn't work. And it's not that the thing is broken, it's just that the socket has quit operating properly. You know, which could be, you know, it could be a symptom of a larger problem. So anyway, don't take it into your own hands. You contact Squires Electric. They do free estimates. No job too small. Literally no job too large. They've done everything from a single socket to an entire building. Vested with wires in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Squires Electric. And it's SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. Squires Electric, a proud sponsor of the Rick Emerson Show at the Emerson News Network. We'll take a break. On the other side, Sarah and Greg will be in the studio with us, and because I've now actually had a couple people ask about the song and somebody requested it, we'll let the entire thing roll. This is Lesson 3 by Double D and Steinsky. On the other side, Sarah and Greg, as well as Penis Watch, I believe, still to come. It is Friday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
The torch has been passed.
to a new generation of Americans.
Lesson three.
Is Mars needs women.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed.
You got to watch, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't have to say anything and you don't have to do anything. Oh, maybe just whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and...
You're listening to The Rick Emerson Show. This is the Emerson News Network.
Back
Tracy Morgan. You're listening to my favorite too, Rick Emerson. Sarah, you want to...
You almost made me choke. And I'm not kidding. I can't believe I'm up here and I have to get down. I like to have one on either side, evenly balanced in my mouth. I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake. I accidentally say I'm gay all the time. It just hurts. It hurts and it's scary.
Put the little round object.
I like to have one on either side, evenly balanced in my mouth.
It was delicious.
I still see it in my mind. Oh, there's many things you can do with carrots. We were a lesbian couple. You can strap yourself in. I smelled my hand and I made everyone else smell my hand. Scotty J. I hope you're not mad at me. P.S. You can touch it. Why is everyone calling me for the alcohol? You should be giving it to me, Brad.
Because you're a drunkard.
Thank you, Rick.
Happy birthday to you. This is your day. On this day for you.
It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Is this the new Kids on the Block? Rick Emerson doesn't do things halfway.
I cannot believe you saved all those sound bites.
Oh, I don't throw anything away. I keep everything.
Thank you. That was magic.
We are joined now on the Rick Emerson radio program by Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler. And that was just, by the way, all of those sound bites there, that was just what I turned up with one search, just typing in Sarah MP3 into my computer. I didn't even go. I have like a 2 terabyte hard drive at home. God only knows what's on there.
Oh, good Lord.
I have to say, the only thing I could not find, I spent like 35 minutes last night looking for that goddamn Mall 205 commercial.
Oh, I have never, the Dress Barn one?
Yeah.
I have never been able to find that. I've actually looked for it before so I could delete it.
I don't know where it would have gone to. I don't know why I don't have it. But that commercial where you know, it's not the same Mall 205. Oh, no.
Oh, no, the Dress Barn is so sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This is the New Kids on the Block. This is just called Happy Birthday to You.
Man, I think the last time I heard this song was when it was being played at my birthday party when I was in fifth grade.
Well, by the way, I was looking for this song last night, and I was searching around on like YouTube or whatever for it. And the message, reading the message boards for like a New Kids on the Block song as it's, you know, posted on YouTube is hilarious because it's all comments like, I love this song. I just turned 35 and a friend put it on my Facebook page. It's all just ancient people who are talking about...
Ancient?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're going to do it too? I keep being called...
Well, no offense. I, you know, present company excluded.
It's better to just embrace it.
Wait, big finish here.
I don't know. Thank you, Jordan.
Can you pick out the different New Kids just
of
by
course.
Hearing them?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, that was Jordan.
All right. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. That was embarrassing and magical.
Well, speaking of embarrassing and magical, you and I are similar in the sense that neither of us like surprises.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan. Like, Sarah, do you remember this voice? And like springing things at you. I'm not going to. That's not.
You're not doing that, right?
No. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't do that. So there's this. But as a visual accompaniment to this, if everyone would like to go to rickemerson.com/pictures. Let me make sure that I've had this hidden, but let me just unhide this. Hold on a second here. So if you want to go to rickemerson.com/pictures, and as soon as I click this and publish, okay, you will now be able to see there's an album you'll be able to see at rickemerson.com/pictures called Sarah Dillon, A Retrospective.
Oh, God.
Which is just a series of photos of, I think there's 17
fluctuating hair colors and weight.
Well, you said that. I didn't. I think you look radiant in all of them. If that is
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the pictures from the first time that, oh, my God, that was when I was still an intern.
Yeah. So you'll be able to to cycle through all those. So there's 17 different photos of Sarah Jesus. From various phases of this program.
That's when I was 21. That's when
I think that the first one is actually, yeah, so it's when...
My parents have that picture actually framed.
Which one?
The one where I'm talking on the microphone. We were in Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Is it the one where it's the close, where it's cropped in?
Yep.
And it's, is it with the headset or the one where it's got the mic flag and it's the KOTK mic?
The KOTK mic flag.
Yeah. So there's 17 of these, and I think the first one is the one that actually says, you can see these, by the way, at rickemerson.com/pictures, and it's called the Sarah Dillon Retrospective. The first picture there is, it's you with Christina Carlson, who that must have been, I think it had to have been like the first month you were there.
That was, I was still an intern. That had to be, that was June of 2002, I think.
Yeah. And then they
I remember that was my favorite shirt in college, and then I kind of retired that soon after.
And they go all the way through 2008. I think the last picture is... In fact, they're sort of out of order. I should have put the one of you and I at the Indigo last. But the last one is the one that Jason Crum took in front of the Hollywood, which is
really
fantastic.
You really do have like you figured out the face.
The face.
I've never been able to figure out how to take a good picture, and you figured out the face. You've got like the angle. Like
it's all about the angles
here, and then the smile.
No, you always have to stick it because you don't want to ever show this. So you have to stick your chin out. Then down, and then never, if someone's taking a picture from you from the side, never squish your arm against your side. You always have to have it out. Because even if you don't have big arms, it makes it look big if you're squishing.
Wait, hold on. Never squish your arm. You mean like this?
Never squish your arm against that. You always have to have it out.
Oh, because it makes your arm look
like
huge.
Hands on your hips type thing.
Yes, right. And also if you want to accentuate a certain part of your waist, even if it's a little higher, put your hands right there and it makes you look a little smaller.
That is a terrible picture of you.
Yes.
That one, by the way.
By the way, I did not crop myself out of that, which I could have. Can I just tell you
that
this?
That was at Sabala's.
Was it?
Yeah, that was at Sabala's. I remember. Yeah, I'm pretty sure because I remember wearing that shirt. How vain am I?
Who is this chick that you're kissing, though? Who is this girl that's got a hold of your tongue?
That's Greg's favorite person ever.
I have no idea who it is.
Is.
I honestly, seriously, if it's somebody, if this is a picture that I shouldn't have put out,
I don't care.
I don't know who it is. I have no idea.
I know who it is. I have.
It's a girl that Greg very, very much doesn't
really
like.
Do not like.
Okay. Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Oh, my Gem out. Was that Gem?
It is. Well.
Oh wait, no, that's somebody dressed as
it's
me.
It's Kyle.
Oh God, I thought that was me.
That's so sad.
It's far away in my old eyes. I can't really see as well as I used to.
That's a. Would you like your progressive lenses, Sarah? Well, that's a compliment, I guess, for Kyle that he passed for you.
Oh,
not so much
Kyle.
A compliment for you that Kyle could just put on a wig and you're indistinguishable. That is at one of our listener parties where Kyle, the intern, was dressed as you, dressed as Jem, I think. That was the deal.
Yeah.
This photograph, by the way, just with this in the spirit of the and you guys know this. I heard you guys having a discussion about this the other day where Greg was like, I don't know, I feel really uncomfortable talking about that on the air, whatever it was. And Sarah was going, that's how you know you're supposed to talk about it. And Don and I have talked
You've
about
taught
that.
Me about, that.
Like, as soon as the little red light goes on, like, warning, warning, don't discuss this. Like, that's how you know you must discuss it.
Oh, yeah.
That happened today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Were you talking about making out with your uncle again?
No, I'll tell you in just a moment. You'll get to hear the story. I'll have Dawn tell you a condensed version of the story
really?
In just a moment. But as I was looking through these photos yesterday, and again, you can see these at rickemerson.com/pictures, there's this picture of you and I at Sabala's, and I don't know who this guy in the background is, and I apologize if it's somebody I'm supposed to know, but there's some...
Oh, I don't recognize him.
Some goober, like, like standing behind us. And if it turns out that if it's someone that I'm supposed to be familiar with or who's a paying subscriber, then Rick Emerson is sorry for that. But I initially cropped everything out but you because I was like, oh, I look terrible. And I just cropped it. And then I thought, no. If I'm going to stick up photos of you.
Thank you.
Where you, it doesn't look bad, but you just, the very many stages of your appearance, I thought that I had to be fair.
Yeah, I look kind of crazy in that picture.
Yeah.
And then thanks for putting up the whole, like, Coin News 6 dig deeper one.
I don't even know what the hell that means. I why are you standing next to a thing that says dig deeper and you're making that face?
I don't know. And, like, maybe they cut away from me when I was doing a traffic report
like a
or something?
Is it like a dissolve or something? Like they're...
It has to be. I don't understand.
And you have this expression...
But that was my horrible hairdo after they dyed my hair because I was too edgy and controversial. And there's like... So they got me Tanya Harding's personal stylist to tone down my look because I'm a little too intimidating.
Beige. Yeah, and you have this look on your face sort of like a, ooh, Sarah likes that.
Oh, that's the
Oh, is that?
That's when Greg spilled coffee on my boob.
Yeah, this is the I don't know why I'm leaking photo. By the way, the actual, I don't know who took this. I'm imagining it was Greg.
I think it was.
The actual file name for this photo is Sarah Dillon's Leaky Shame. And I changed that to, I don't know why I'm leaking. But is that the deal, that Greg spilled coffee on
Remember
your bosom?
Remember, it was when we were all doing the morning show and we were running through the halls like crazy people. Like,
yeah.
Right.
There was a guest or something coming and.
I ran around a corner and spilled coffee, and the only spot it got on her was right on her boob.
It does look like you've become sort of a quasi-lactation.
I know, I just lactate from my right breast.
Yeah.
Do not take that out of context.
So this was just a random smattering.
Oh, that was when we were in the sex club.
Yes, it's the shot of us of you on the bed and I'm in the chair, where we look sort of. I don't know. There's something about that picture that I really like in a horrible way. I don't know why.
It's I think it looks cool.
It's sort of like very Twin Peaks-ish.
I was just going to say, it's sort of like a weird surrealist, almost like an American Gothic kind of a picture. And you look like you're about 16 there, and I look spongy and fat.
spongy.
Which is just, and the number.
I'm the one laying on a plastic mattress right there.
It's so bizarre. By the way, and if anybody was not already aware of this. If you scroll through these, and I'm only in, I think, a handful of these. I'm in, like, maybe four or five of these. You can actually see.
Oh, election night.
The longer I know Sarah, the better I look in all these photos. Because the first picture, I just, like, I got the bad hair, and I'm fat, and I'm just, and I'm pasty, and I don't know how to look, and I just look like I'm not even really aware of what a phone does or how it operates. But then if you get to the end where we're standing outside the Indigo. Or on the hotel, is that the or I guess it's the what is it? Their condos downtown. And that was a couple weeks after our firing when we went to the Indigo opening with Brad.
Yeah, Brad, and then bumped into like Byron.
And Byron was there.
Yeah,
and Byron I think was the one who took this this photo of us standing out on a balcony outside. And this is actually one of the best photos of me that's been taken. And so that was really just a prolonged proximity to Sarah that actually I figured out how not to look horrible. So,
no, I remember the first time I met you, though. Holy God.
Yes, it was bad.
No, I remember because we all had our, like, cute, like, our little, like radio boxes where you put your headphones and stuff, and I was just the new intern, and I was being shuffled over to meet Rick Emerson, the talent.
Yes.
And I was so nervous, and then I met you, and that was when you still had, like, long, like, fuzzy hair, and you were wearing, like, a purple, like, silk open shirt with, like, swirls, like, going down
terrible.
The sides of it.
It was terrible.
And you were wearing motorcycle boots. I remember this. And, like, kind of... fading black tight jeans.
These things are all true.
Yes.
I don't remember it, but I believe you just instinctively.
Oh, no. And you were just like really angry and you were like walking with your hair flowing behind you, just like going to get your headphones. And I was like, hey, my name's Sarah. He's like, and kind of grunted at me. But then I gradually won you over because I was a board op like every day and you're a crazy workaholic. And so you'd stay after the show every day. And so I'd like slowly try to like have like mini conversations with you. And eventually it turned into kind of a, not a friendship, but you not disliking me as much as I thought you did initially.
Well, and you were the one actually who first told me that that there's some sort of weird thing where when people would meet me, they would spend the first 6 months under the impression that I hated them, which I wasn't. Which because I thought I was just sort of being politely,
aloof.
Yeah, I mean, just staying out of your personal space or whatever. But apparently, I was kind of a dick, and also dressed terribly. I mean, I look back at some of those photographs, which I keep just to, just sort of
as a reminder.
Maintain my humility. Yeah, and it's sort of never again kind of a thing where I was just I was not aware that I wasn't Jimmy Page at that point. And I still thought like it's that thing in every guy's life where when you there's like a, and we'll get to the we have somebody calling in here in a moment who wants to speak to you. So we will. I'm looking down and I see that there is actually a sort of mystery guest who will come on in a second for Sarah Dillon's birthday, which is happening tomorrow. And that is Saturday the 9th.
It's the last day of my 20s.
But guys go through this phase where it's like, and Greg, you've probably done this, where you pass certain ages and it's like you realize, and there's probably some female equivalent of this, but you realize you will never be blank. Like at 25, yeah. You're 25, you're not a professional athlete, you're not going to be a professional athlete.
Right, yeah.
You're 35, you're not going to be you're not going to be a rock star. You're 50, you're not going to be whatever. So, but when you first met me, how old would I have been?
So I was 21. How old are you now?
I'm 37. Jesus. 37. I would have been 20.
So you're 28? 29?
I was born in 73, so I would have been 28 if this is 2001.
I'm older right now than you were when we met.
You're 2 years older. Here's how old I am, and by extension, how old you are, Sarah Dillon.
I'm tripped out right now.
Were you the one? Did you actually put together my 30th like the thing at the Tonic for my 30th birthday party?
No, and we had all the bands play and everything.
And the Muddy River Nightmare Band played
And Richard Nunn was there, and he brought his cameras, and you did something for the weather for whatever channel he was working on.
So we've actually known each other long enough that you actually planned my 30th anniversary or my 30th birthday party, and now, little man, I give the watch to you.
Fantastic.
Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. He's been on hold here. Hopefully he's still there. Our good friend Seamus.
Yay!
Hello, Seamus.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm all right. Just wanted to wish Sarah yet another happy birthday.
Seamus, thank you so much. Are you coming back to Portland anytime soon?
I may. April again, maybe.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, I'm bringing another half gallon of, you know, something.
That ended very poorly, my friend.
you were here, I don't know, I guess it was over the course of the summer or something, and I went over to Sarah's house. She's like, Seamus is over here. You should stop by. And it's like, you're sort of just sitting there like a shaven-headed Rick Rubin with sunglasses and a gallon of whiskey and just like holding court at a picnic table in Sarah's backyard like you were a guru of some kind.
Yeah, that's not an exaggeration. It was a gallon of whiskey.
And we drank that entire thing, I believe.
In one night, yeah. And that wasn't just a wee, like Greg and I. Like,
no.
Seamus took big part in that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Seamus.
Yeah, we made sure that Greg got home safely, though.
Oh, that's right.
Barely.
Yeah, poured me into your car.
Oh, yeah, and your stuff was scattered all around my lawn.
Oh, man.
I just remember that he completely forgot his phone, and we ended up making another trip back to your house.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
So I was talking to Seamus. I've been emailing back and forth, though, and just commiserating with the whole, like, oh, we're so old. I can't believe the cruel hand of time and whatever. But when did you start listening to the show, Seamus? When was it, for the beginning, or when was that?
Oh, no. It was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. It was just after Sarah started. I mean, just after, like, a couple of months, maybe.
Because that was when, it was, like, December of 2001,
maybe? Oh, yeah, when I hounded you for that job. Yeah, it was right. It was in December.
Yeah, okay. So that's when that would have been.
I just remember I was like, 23, 24 at the time.
Wait, how old are you now, Seamus?
I just turned 33.
All right. Well,
so you know, Greg's age.
Well, so you know, so Greg, how old are you? I don't even know.
33.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're young at heart still.
It's the age of Jesus.
And Dawn is the youngest. She's 29.
That's right. Well, you know, and Dawn is relentlessly
in dog years. I don't even know what that means.
And just by the way, so we can revisit this one more time, you know, for the discomfort of Cheryl, and so Sarah and Greg can be privy to it. And just to let you know that no matter what the calendar may say, Dawn will never truly grow up.
I'm excited.
Me too.
So, do you want to just give a...
Okay, well, in a nutshell, I have, like, this really bad, like, eczema or psoriasis on my left foot.
And it's your left foot only for some reason. You're sort of confined.
It comes and goes on my right foot, but it's been really bad on my left foot. And it comes and goes, and it gets worse and then better and then worse and then better. And I've tried all kinds of salves and creams and ointments and treatments. And then finally, out of desperation, I was researching on the internet trying to find something to do, and I came across urine therapy.
Now, hold on. Before we continue here, let me just ask you this, Sarah and Gray, because I'm assuming you have not heard the show today so far.
No.
Okay. So, and by the way, this is an object lesson in why it's always good to repeat those stories that maybe your inner voice tells you should not be repeated.
Absolutely.
What would you imagine urine therapy to be? If I had to, you know, if I was going to ask you right now, what do you think that might consist of?
I would assume just urinating on your foot, or, I mean... I would assume straight urination. I mean, unless it's like a bath.
See, and I would assume going to some, especially if she's, okay, I'm thinking about this. She's looking at it on the internet, going to some holistic or naturalistic, like, food, like, store, and getting some sort of animal urine that's supposed to be good.
And then
like, soaking your foot
urine.
In it.
Oh. See, I would assume it's your own urine.
Yeah, no, it's my own urine.
Oh. I was hoping it wasn't that.
Yeah.
And do you pee in a bucket and, like, stick your foot in it?
Well, not a bucket. How much do you think I pee?
So it's like a salt bath? Like a salt bath with urine?
No, I just peeing in a cup and then putting some of it on, like, a paper towel and then just daubing it on the
urine.
Do
you have to, like, soaked it?
Do you have to, like, store up, like, urine so you get enough for
treatment?
That's
a really good question.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could fill a bucket.
Yeah.
If you're just, like, every time you have to pee, just run to the bucket.
Put it in the fridge with saran wrap around it or something.
Poor Seamus just called to wish you a happy birthday. Now he's having to hear that he's having to hear the urine story.
People have been peed on for a lot worse reasons.
That's a fair point.
And there's that whole thing about doing it if you get stung by a jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. But then, and then part of the story, of course, being that my husband was out last night, and I
was not aware that this was happening.
No,
by the way, he wasn't privy to this.
I wasn't going to tell him that I was putting pee on my foot. But I did it the first night, and then the next day I went, oh my God, it really is better, so I'm going to do this again tonight.
You let him just think it was your naturally fresh scent.
And he was out for the evening, and I was home taking a bath and reading this damn Jonathan Franzen book, and I had collected the pee in a cup, and he came home, and before I thought he was going to be home, and he came in the bathroom about 11 o'clock last night. He was like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's in this cup? And I was like, it's pee. And he was like, and he put it back down. And then he was like, well, what's it for? No, and then I said, don't pour it down the sink. I'm going to use it.
No, don't throw that pee away. I save that.
Use it.
You actually said, I'm saving it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, yeah. And so then I had to explain to him what it was for. And that's what, and honest to God, the last thing I said in the conversation was, and I'm so not talking about this on the radio.
This is,
oh,
and,
yeah.
No, that's.
Yeah, you have to.
And Don and I, you know, and we've had, you know, some, you know, as the show has gone on, this version of it, we've had conversations about, you know, just like, you know, and we've all had this dynamic where, you know, certain things we talk about and certain things we don't talk about on the air. And we've learned to sort of, you know, discuss things off the air in a way that everybody knows what is repeatable and what isn't. And
I know, I say it in life even, too. I'm like, not for air.
Not for air.
Even if it's like somebody that doesn't even work in radio, I'm like, not for air, but this is what's going on.
When Dawn and I were having this conversation, I swear to Christ, the example she actually used, she said, well, you know, working in newspaper, because she's a, you know, like an actual real journalist and who spent, you know, a lot of her life being working in actual respectable media. And she said, well, you know, it's just not necessarily second nature for me to insert myself into the story because in newspapers you don't really do that. And the example she used was, she goes, I mean, I'm not like Sarah who just tells stories about like peeing in a bed or something. And then like
I didn't pee in the bed. The guy I was dating peed in the bed.
No, you peed in someone's laundry room.
You didn't tell me that. Yeah. Has that happened recently?
No.
No, this happened.
Oh, you didn't hear this one?
No, we don't need to talk about this.
Well, we're talking about urine. It's only natural it would come up.
No, it was just, I just so happened, like when I was dating a guy about a
it
year
just
ago.
Just so happened.
Oh, no, it's
amazing. It just so happened. It's almost like you don't know how it happened. Like you just woke up and you were whizzing in a guy's laundry room.
No, I.
Essentially.
Was this a guy that I know?
I got confused. Yes, it was when I was dating the guitarist.
Okay, yes.
And we went to Seattle to go see a Lions.
Confused.
We went to Seattle to see a Lions game, and so we were seeing some of his friends that I hadn't met before. See, this should make you feel better about the pee thing. And so, like, we go to stay at his friend's house, and one of which was his ex-girlfriend. And then I'm like, okay.
That had to be
so,
fun.
Exactly. So I'm like, oh, overcompensation. Oh, whiskey? Why not? Started, you know, drinking a lot, like, having a good time. Then ended up going downstairs in the basement to go to bed. And woke up in the morning, and I'm like, that's weird. I know I fell asleep with my shorts on, and now I'm just in my underwear. And I'm like, I don't really know what's going on. So I look at the guitarist, and I'm like, what's happening? And because there was a laundry room, or there was, no, it wasn't a laundry room, it was a spare bedroom and a bathroom. And they were right next to each other. And he's like, you don't remember what you did? And I'm like, no.
Oh, that's always a great way to start a conversation.
No,
you
like,
were so drunk.
And we could hear people like upstairs walking around. I'm like, we don't have time for this. Tell me what I did. And he's like, yeah, you got confused. And instead of going into the bathroom, you went to the door to the left and walked in there. And they're like, actually, they had stripped the carpet, so there was this huge carpet roll in the middle of the thing because they're remodeling because they're going to have, like, a new roommate there. And so all the, like, carpet padding is underneath. And I went in there, peed on the carpet padding.
This is my carpet padding.
But, you know, of course, did not take off the shorts
that
I was wearing. No. Of course not. But, you know, I just, like, you know, walked back in. And
Wait, hold. I hate to ask this question, but I have to. When you say you didn't take off the shorts, do you mean you didn't remove them all the way or you did not even adjust them? I don't think
you told me that
you
part.
You whizzed through them.
That's why I woke up without them on.
Wow.
Because the guitarist had taken them on, and I'm just like,
But you left your underwear on. That's strange.
I know.
Did he have to take them off for you?
I think he
did. This gets sexier and sexier.
Seriously, this has been the only time this has happened, because I have, sometimes when I'm in, like, a new place, I've been known to sleepwalk sometimes. And so, like, that was kind of, like, my sleepwalking thing. So then the worst part was...
We're not at the worst part
yet.
No,
we're not at the worst part.
Okay.
And so I was telling him, I'm like, please don't tell, you know, like, please don't say it to your friends. Like, they already think I'm a crazy person anyway. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you pooped in my laundry basket.
Oh, God. So his friend comes running down the stairs. Turns out that spare bedroom that they're remodeling is his closet.
Oh.
And he goes there every morning to change his clothes.
Oh.
And so he's in there, and I'm just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I hear him go, like, he's yelling up to his girlfriend. He's just like, Mary! The pipes are leaking again. We gotta get it.
That's awesome.
It was so awful, and I'd already made him promise not to tell them, and I'm like, I can't not tell them because now they're gonna call a plumber because they think things are leaking, and really it was just me, and I peed on their floor.
That's fantastic.
It was the most humiliating thing ever. And it's like these people already didn't like me. Like they're
wow.
Yeah, and so I had to actually go in. I'm like, you know what, don't I'm like I need to I'm like just don't call your plumber. I hate.
Did you actually you copped to the whole thing?
I did. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I know. I couldn't have him call a plumber and then like waste all that money.
Well, because the plumber's gonna come out and you know it's gonna be all like CSIing and going, this isn't so much water as it is someone's urine. And then it becomes
Agatha Christie
thing. They could have called the cleaning solution. You're right, Mr. Michael Beatty.
That's right.
971
look at you.
533-3211. Well played, my friend. Well played.
Oh my god.
So he was like standing in the room. And he's like, you know, kind of touching there. I'm like, stop touching that. So I'm like, I need to tell you something. I'm like, I peed under curfew. He's like, what? I'm like, he's like, you're just messing with me. I'm like, no, I seriously did, and I'm really sorry. I'm like, I'll help you clean it up.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
Like, oh.
You know.
So he said he didn't tell anybody else, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, and because now you're an anecdote that the plumbing guy tells everyone. Yeah, totally. No, there was this one house.
No, this wasn't the plumbing guy. No, this was the guitarist's friend who lived in Seattle.
God damn. Well, you know, then it becomes like an Agatha Christie thing, too, where, like, if you hadn't, you know, if the plumbing guy had come out and be like, well, this is just whiz, like, then everybody's looking at each other and lightning outside the window and someone in this room peed on the floor.
I know. That was one of my stronger moments. I'm like, I could either walk away and pretend it wasn't me or I could cop to the fact that I peed in their spare bedroom.
Did they have a dog? Because maybe you could have, like, made
them
think
the dog did it.
They
were just, like, a bunch of stoners and they were all, you know, like, passed out upstairs. I was just the...
So it could have been anybody. If they were stoners, it could have been anyone.
Yeah, but who would be down in that basement, though?
Yeah.
See, that'd be the problem.
Really? And why did it have to be his closet? Like, that could have dried up if he wasn't there, and then nobody would have known.
Only you would actually describe an incident in which you whizzed through your shorts into a stranger's closet as one of your stronger moments.
You know, the going out through the wrong door thing, that almost killed me once, though, because I spent the night with a guy, and it was the first and only time I ever spent the night in his apartment. Mm-hmm. And he was in an upstairs apartment, and I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I went to the bathroom, and I was kind of drunk, and I was half asleep, and I'd never been in this apartment. It was pitch black, and I went back to go to the bedroom, and instead of going like to the left, which was the way to the bedroom, I went to the right, which was the stairs straight down to the front door. And I did, it was like a cartoon where I just walked, and I had that moment where I went, oh God, there's nothing. And I just went, aye, and I went tumble down the stairs, like half naked. And I had that moment in my head where I was going, I'm going to break my neck and die. Or because it's interesting how many things you can think of while that's happening. It's like, I'm going to be paralyzed, and this is going to be the most embarrassing thing ever.
By the way, just two things. One, when Seamus spoke just there, no offense, I'd sort of forgotten you were on the phone because you called like an hour ago.
It's like the voice of God.
And seriously, and I was like, where is that voice? And I was looking at you guys and I felt stoned for a second because no one's mouth was moving. But but Seamus is actually noted here in the text box. I think it was before you called. He was looking at this photo gallery. He says, many of these photographs are from a time before all the sparks of hope were extinguished from your eyes, Sarah.
Thank you. Now I know I have dull eyes and I'm old. Thanks, Seamus.
To be fair, though, you know, I should reassure you as somebody who's a couple years older, a few years older than you now, you know, your best years are probably still ahead of you.
Thanks.
So.
Thanks for that. That'll help me sleep at night.
I will actually say that turning 30 didn't really, it really didn't bother me. I was, because people build it up as being a huge, horrific thing.
Yeah.
I will say, just only because it's true, that 31 was actually the birthday that sort of weirded me out, because then it's like, you're in your 30s.
That's what everyone has been saying. Like, 30 is kind of a monumental birthday, but then as soon as you turn 31, it's like, okay, now I'm actually in my 30s. It isn't really a big deal.
Because it's like interesting, at least when you turn 30. Yeah, it's sort of, it's like when the odometer flips over like a million or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that's good. But then 31, you're just like, it's just sort of a lackluster beige kind of, I'm aging.
And no one cares that you're turning 31.
Yeah,
after the 30th birthday, I don't know, maybe 40 is a big one, but nobody cares anymore.
I'll let you know in a couple of years.
Pretty much every woman I know, though, has said that her 30s were so much better than her 20s. And you don't think it's going to be the case because I'm getting old and it's going to be downhill. But I have to say, you know, I found that to be the truth as well. I was just like so much smarter and better and more secure in myself in my 30s than I ever was in my 20s. Because you're still kind of crazy in your 20s. And in your 30s, you start to actually kind of settle into who you actually are.
Well, and that's what I've done today, actually. I was sitting there and writing a list. I actually wrote today for our show a list of things that I learned in my 20s that I wish people would have told me. Because I have learned, like, the 20s have been a very, like good, bad, whatever, like, tumultuous. Like, I learned a lot in my 20s. And so I actually wrote a list today that I'm going to read about things for 20-somethings that I've learned.
Excellent.
As I move into my 30th year.
Well, I will just, I'll say this. We'll probably have to, Seamus and I will revisit this maybe next week. Seamus and I don't want to oversell it, but we're putting together just a little something. I mean, it's just sort of a gift. So,
cool.
But it's because we suck. You know, the day of readiness will not be today or tomorrow.
Hey,
so
I'm
probably
still going to be 30 next week.
Yes, you will. all right. So
you know what Rick did for me for my birthday? He stopped at a convenience store and he bought me toilet candy.
It's candy shaped like a toilet. It's awesome. And then it's like a lick 'em stick, but then there are miniature plungers that you put into the bowl of the toilet.
He also bought me a lottery scratch it ticket.
No, that was from Laura.
Did you win?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was from his wife.
And also those earrings that injured you. Those are from both of us, though.
Yeah.
All right. Our good friend Seamus Skyping in. All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, take care, guys.
All right. There you
Bye,
go. That is Seamus. All right.
So
fantastic.
That's for you, but I brought you a gift. I set myself the goal of finding
you. Oh, it's heavy.
Finding you the coolest present that I could possibly find you at Walgreens.
Awesome. So I love Walgreens. Thank you. Fucking what a... Oh, sorry.
No, turn it over.
I was just reading it.
That's okay.
If you turn it over to the other non thing, then you can see it.
It says it again. Happy effing whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's really heavy.
No, really. The show that when Peter Carlin was here talking about the sex club, the profanity thing went like way out the window. So don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yay!
Wow, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you, Don.
It's a crystal skull. A pink crystal skull.
Ooh, with a candle.
Yeah, with an electronic tea light in it so that you can, like, light it.
Without burning the place down.
Yeah, you have to pull the tap. There you go.
Oh, that is so cool. See?
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. So it's one of those electric votive candle things.
That is so neat. Thank you so much.
That really is legitimately great. Well
that
done.
That is a cool
gift. I got that. That was so cool. And I was actually walking to the checkout counter with it, and I was like, I need one of these for me. And so I went back and I bought like another one so that I can have one for me too.
Seriously, awesome. I'm going to be buying one of those for me later.
I'm going to be buying more of those. You got it at Walgreens?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Halloween decorations real quickly. So a couple things. I've been putting off decorating my house, but so I'm going to do that. Let me ask you guys this because we all kind of share this table. How do you feel about for the month of October if this stuff over here, if I find a different place for that and I'm going to bring in that jack-o'-lantern and see if it'll actually fit on the table there? Because the thing is, it won't fit anywhere else in the room, and Lars suggested putting it on the roof, but for it to be visible, it would also have to be in a place where it would certainly fall off and kill someone.
No, and you've mentioned way too many times over the years, Ricketts, that they're like, hey, I have a giant metal pumpkin on top of my roof, which probably isn't the best thing.
Probably, because you can see it from everywhere.
Seriously, it's just like, where does Rick Emerson live?
Come to my house.
Giant metal pumpkin.
Seriously, yeah. So
for your safety, let's keep it in the studio.
All right, so I'll bring that in over the course of the weekend. So, all right.
Awesome.
Well, what is coming up on Fun Employment Radio today?
Well,
last day of my 20s.
Last day of the 20s, yeah. So we're going to... I've been giving you a pretty hard time all week long.
Yes, he's been ruthless.
Have you been using the 30-something in your 30s?
30-something, it's all downhill. I'm old blue-haired since I have blue hair.
There's a big argument we've been having over whether or not she's a cougar now.
And I'm not a cougar, because you know I don't like younger guys.
Well, you like them if they're under 18.
like to look at him. It doesn't mean I wanted to do anything with him.
Well, I don't know. Isn't cougar... I don't even know what
cougar,
that really means.
Cougar is like MILF. It's one of those phrases that's become grotesquely misused. An actual cougar is an older woman who is actively on the hunt for younger men.
To have sex with a younger man.
And
right?
It's become this word people just use for any woman who's attractive who is like maybe over 30 or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm sorry, it's like MILF. MILF only applies if the woman actually has children. Just because she's an older woman, you can't go, she's a MILF. So, yes. So, same thing with cougar. A cougar is actually an older woman who specifically dates younger guys.
Not guys who happen to be younger, but it's like you're going out looking for a 20-year-old guy or, you know, whatever.
And Greg knows he's wrong, too, which is annoying because he's just like, just keeps repeating it as if it's truth.
The more you say it, the more people believe it.
Now, do you have this, do you still have, because you've, how do I put this? In the past, there have been gentlemen who have, they've asked you out on a social event, mm-hmm. or they've said, Sarah, I would like to spend social time with you at some point in the future. And you've just, but you felt that they
still
were not
to the Mayfair.
Yeah, they were not in the right age group for you. So did you find out that the guys that you are either attracted to or will or go out with? Have you found that that's shifted? Greg just got punched for no readily apparent reason there.
Well, we've been discussing some of her recent dating habits.
Really? So has that changed? Because I know there was a long time where you didn't want to go out with guys who were your age. You wanted to date guys who were older.
Well, every time I have dated somebody that's my age, it never works out well. My age or younger, like, you know, the guy that I dated who was like 6 months younger than me was the one who ended up peeing my bed. And
that's your job.
I have never peed in my bed. I peed in somebody's spare bedroom.
But really, how would you know? I mean, you know.
How would you know? Do you know how urine works?
Urine-soaked shorts back to your
bed. My God. I want to punch you both.
So, anywho.
I love you, Don.
But, I mean, if you're dating older guys, and then as you become older, is that a thing that you think will shift? Will it reverse and you will want to date guys your age or younger?
No, I think I'm kind of ageist in that way, unfortunately.
Now, is it going to... But so then here's my follow-up question. So right now, let's say when you're 25 or 30, the average guy you would date would be what, like 30, 35?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm just, just picking an age. So I guess my question is it going to stay at that specific age, or is it going to be relative to your current age?
You know, honestly, as long as somebody's older than me, like, I don't know. Like, my last boyfriend that I dated for a long time was 6 years older than me. And I don't know. It all depends. I'm not sure. I definitely have a problem dating men my own age. Like, especially when I dated somebody who was, like, exactly my own age, the farmer.
Right.
Where he was, living in his mom's basement and would cry a lot. And that just didn't really work very well.
Can we talk about my feelings?
I don't think it matters what age that is. Yeah, it's really not going to be good.
Yeah. I don't know. I do kind of like him a little older. Like, they've gotten through the whole crying phase. And they're, like, just more jaded. More manly. I like him when they two have lost the sparkle in their eye. And they realize that it hasn't all turned out the way they planned.
The day started kind of early for you, didn't it?
This is my only...
Hey, just to wrap all this up here before we let the Fun Employment Radio taping begin.
Extravaganza!
And don't forget, you can hear that later on this evening, around 6 p.m. or so Pacific time at funemploymentradio.com. Two things. One, Dawn, do you have any advice? Dawn, as a lady, do you have any advice for Sarah about the...
An elderly woman?
As she hurtles over this particular milepost in her life, do you have any thoughts or suggestions for her?
Yeah, I guess just the thing that there's. I know that when I turned 30, my feelings in my late 20s were as I was looking at 30, I really looked at 30 as this line that, like, there were all these things I should have accomplished by the time I was 30. That by the time I was 30, I should have been here in my life. And the thing is, I woke up the morning of my 30th birthday and it just kind of felt like, oh, okay, that pressure's off. I had felt just so anxious for, like...
I am totally anxious right now, and as Rick was saying, thinks I started early. No, I've had half a Mickey's and a giant latte. I'm like, but it's just like my adrenaline is going so much because I'm, the anticipation of waking up tomorrow morning and being in my 30th year.
Yeah.
My mom even is giving me crap about it. She's like, I can't believe my daughter is 30 years old. Like, yeah. Thanks, Mom.
But the thing is, it's like you wake up tomorrow morning and you're still exactly the same person you are today, but you're just entering this sort of, like, really cool point. The 30s are really cool because you are actually really a grown-up at this point. You're not a kid anymore. You're a grown-up, but you're not old yet. So it's, like, actually pretty damn cool. That's all I can say.
Okay, I'm a little excited.
I would concur with that, by the way. Yeah. Just in all honesty, I would say that I haven't minded being in my 30s at all. I mean, because my 20s, I mean, it's not like my 20s were terrible. But at the same time, it's like it feels like... for me, anyway, in my 20s, it felt like a lot of that was, like, still getting, like, burning off, like, all of your, like, adolescent craziness where, where, like, all the chemicals in your brain are not quite working properly and you feel like you're bipolar about, about half the time, or you just feel like you're flat out crazy sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I know that film.
And it took a while into my 20s, to get rid of that and to really just, and also just to become more comfortable with who I was and to figure out who I was and what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do, and the people I cared about. about pleasing and the people I didn't care about pleasing. That, I think in my 30s, I started putting things into the category of, like, do I care enough, to make this group of people happy or to pursue this, or do I not? Mm-hmm. And you start doing stuff more for yourself and less because you are expected to do it. But then, as Don said, you're not old yet, I would say that, there's nothing really to be anxious about. I've had no issues with my 30s.
I've
been fine.
Yeah. This little bit of advice, though. It's like if you haven't taken particularly good care of yourself up to this point, start taking care of yourself now. Mm-hmm. Because this is the point at which it doesn't get better. It's never going to get
That's
better.
That's also true.
And so it's like, honestly, though, if you get yourself into some kind of decent shape in your early, and I wish someone had told me this, because I never understood that there really were consequences to the way I treated my body. I never got it. And then what happened eventually is, like, I was just old and broken down and had to get new hips. So it's like, you treat yourself as well as you possibly can and actually start thinking about health now.
It's like vitamins and eye cream.
Vitamins, eye cream, moisturizer, always moisturize. And honest to God, just try not to fall off of things or tear anything or injure anything. Because once you hit your 30s, if you damage yourself, it will ache for the rest of your life, even after it's healed.
It'll predict the rain.
It will always hurt. Yes. You will be able to predict the rain with whatever you do from this point out.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Don.
Now I'm scared.
Walk carefully. Seriously.
No, I tore my rotator cuff when I was 30. When I was a chef, I slid in a walk-in refrigerator, and I grabbed something, and I just kept going, and I ripped my shoulder.
Oh, man.
And it still hurts. And it's been like 40 years since that happened, and it still hurts.
And it was when I was, I think, maybe 32, 33 when I went and I got my...
Why are you guys telling me horror stories?
It's cautionary tales.
To take care of yourself.
This is like when people go, if I knew then what I know now. See, you have Dawn and I, look back and go, Sarah, here's what not to do.
When Dawn was talking about the kitchen story, it totally reminded me of the Canadian PSA.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that, where she's in the kitchen?
I was about to be married. Well, I was like, I think I was Greg's age, actually, when I went to the doctor and I was getting my yearly checkup or whatever. And he was like scratching stuff off on his pad or whatever. And he's like, okay, blood pressure is this and whatever. And he goes, and I asked some question about something or other. And his response was, he goes, well, Richard, you're not getting any younger. And then he just went back to writing. And it was like, and I was like, well, you dick. But he was, I think, probably trying to tell me the same thing, which is like, yeah, you F yourself up when you're like, is that all that stuff that seems like a cliche when you're kid, but you young people think you're immortal. But it really is sort of true, especially when you're a teenager. But it's like the older you get, you realize, your bounce back time, that starts to elongate. We've got one other call here before we wrap this up. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Keelan from Las Vegas. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Hi, Keelan. How are you? I'm so happy to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to make sure I got a chance to tell you happy birthday before you were unable to walk or do any of the things that young people get to do.
Thank you, friend.
And I know, being in Vegas, we have all kind of specials on, like, the Rascals and things like that for old people to get around. I could probably package one of those up and ship it to you.
That would be great.
You'll get the 50% off at all the buffets. All of the honored citizen specials will be yours.
That's true. Denny's, you can get the special cheaper dinners.
Seriously, are you...
The early bird dinner?
Are you going to go get, like, your free birthday meal anywhere tomorrow?
Oh, I'm totally obnoxious about that. I'll walk into places and be like, it's my birthday, what do you give me?
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm that embarrassing person.
Well, Vegas is like an entire place basically just run by the aged. So, so you'll be among your people there, so...
Yeah, they're pretty aggressive down here, so you have to make sure you don't put up with any blue hair crap.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, is you the one thing I will say that, middle age is sort of maybe depressing.
But so
being
easy.
I know.
Being an old person eventually, though, I think that'll be kind of great. Like, middle age might suck, but I mean, I think being young is good and being old is good, because in either you can just get away with whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can just shake a stick angrily at people and, act however you like.
Greg has talked about he's excited to be old so that he can walk around without pants on yelling at people.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean,
he wants
you can
to walk
get away
around
with it.
Naked. And just be like,
no, not naked, just without pants. I want to walk down the street and just go into a store, sit down, go sit down at a bar or something, and not even acknowledge it.
Oh, that makes it less weird. I'm sorry.
Sit down. I mean, people could throw a fist.
Mr. Nibbler, you came without pants again.
Oh, did I forget my pants?
What are you talking about? What time is supper?
Awesome.
And, you know, and they're pretty, and you know, they're so used to old people down here, they'll handle the incontinence really well. Mistakenly pee in someone's area. What? You won't get in too much trouble for that.
Sounds like she's taking the trial and error method to figuring out the incontinence thing at this point. So, all right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, you guys enjoy, Sarah. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Kid.
All right, there you go. There's Bye. Kid. Just to wrap all this up, I will just I'll end with a pee story of my own, just so we can all be on the same page. Now, regrettably, and this sadly, this doesn't really involve me as such, but it is horrifying. So there was so my grandfather, my dad's father, when he was alive. He was just a huge lush, and so, of course, he attracted, like, an endless procession of lush girlfriends. And it's always weird when you have, like, a grandparent who has a boyfriend or a girlfriend, when they use that word to describe it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're supposed to call—I mean, I don't know what I would have suggested, you know, like, my lover or something. I mean, there's no, you know—
Companion.
My romantic partner.
Yeah, my grandmother used to say her gentleman friend.
See, that's—
Gentleman
see,
caller, yeah. Gentleman friend, yeah.
My
like
lady
that.
Friend.
I think, yeah, yeah see, lady friend, or just, you know, you just say, like, a friend. I mean, it's like everybody knows the deal there. You know, but like my grandfather's always just going, so my girlfriend Betty's going to be coming over. And, just so awful. And she was
My grandmother's name is Betty.
Really?
Yeah.
And she was just, she.
Oh, wait. She is single. Uh-oh.
My humping buddy.
She was just a horrible, off-putting. I mean, she just looked like she ought to be, I think she was like a waitress at like a flapjack house. And she like chain smoked. And you go to her house and she had like a diamond tufted leatherette bar and like one of those Wurlitzer organ things in the living room that has like all the preset like samba. She would sit there and play. She would sit there like while away the hours playing that, like, I swear to Christ, underneath a full-on black velvet Elvis like painting. I mean, it was just the worst. It was the, and then there's the painting, and I'll never forget that I had to go into her bedroom at one point to get something for her. She's like, you know, be a dear and go get my whatever. So at one point, she, like, sent me into her bedroom. I was, like, over there with her and my grandfather, and she, like, sent me to get something. And on the back of her bedroom door, this is the kind of woman my grandfather was attracted to. On the back of her bedroom door was yet another black velvet painting. And it was a black velvet painting of, like, a topless Mexican woman who was, like, cradling her bosoms as though they were children. That was the sort of design. That was the decor at her home. So that's like, who my grandfather dated. But so for reasons that now are lost to me, I can't really remember why this happened, but my grandfather and Betty were both staying at our house one night. This is the house where I grew up. And so it was me and my mom, my dad, and we were living there. And then my grandfather and Betty were staying the night there. Maybe they were like passing through town on the way to somewhere else. I forget why. But they were probably just over for the night and were too drunk to drive home, and they ended up just crashing there. Anyway, so the middle of the night, my grandfather and his lady friend are spending the night at the house. My mom apparently at one point in the middle of the night got up to use the restroom. And again, my grandfather and his girlfriend had stayed the night at the house because they were, I think, probably trashed. So my mom told this story the next morning where she got up and she went into the bathroom to relieve herself in the middle of the evening. And what she did not know is that Betty had gone into the bathroom earlier that evening, also to relieve herself, was, I think, full-on, like, nude, had sat down on the toilet, you know, to do her business, and then had just passed out nude on the toilet.
Oh.
And, of course, it's the middle of the night, so you don't turn the light on.
Oh!
You know, because, like, you don't want to wake up all the way.
Oh,
no. And so my mom, who slept in the altogether... my mother, I believe, sleeps as God made her. So there's my nude mom walking into the bathroom and sitting down and giving an inadvertent, like, lap dance to my grandfather's nude girlfriend who peed, like, all over hell and creation and then passed out on the toilet seat.
Wow.
And my mom described
it. Your family is magical.
Yeah, it really. It's
like the gift that keeps on giving.
One big after school special. And my mom said later, she had the best phrase. She goes, "Well, the toilet seat seemed really warm and soft." And she realized it wasn't so much the seat, it was just Betty's lap. So there you go.
I feel so much better about my pee feet now.
Yeah.
I'm actually having to pee now that we've been talking
about
pee.
Yeah, me too. Oh, there you go. So that's one to grow on, kids.
That is so wrong.
All right, well, happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you, you guys. Right. Thank you so much.
So pee talk.
Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler can be heard later on this evening, this afternoon, at funemploymentradio.com.
My bladder doesn't work as well as it used to.
.com. We will
they have special little underpants for people.
Hey, and my wife, she's always traveling, and she's looking for this thing. Apparently, there's a device they make that lets women stand up while they pee.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
So yeah, for like mountain climbers or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like a funnel with a tube attached to the end of it. So you're set no matter where you go. So, I'll have probably
How
make
big
one.
Do you think the space is between women's legs? I can't put a funnel in there.
Well, that's what Dawn was showing me one online, and it was like, unless everybody's built differently.
Like, I just
I don't know how
like
that works.
I think it's about the size of a neti pot, actually, except it's for pee.
Okay.
A neti pot full of pee.
You have to, like, strap it on? Like,
I think you hold it up there, and then I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I've never
Does that mean
used
we can
one.
Finally write our names in the snow?
I would hope so. That's been a dream.
Okay. On that note, I was just looking for the soundbite where Sarah says you can strap it on, but you know what? It's just too much work at this point. On that note, we will bring a curtain down on this episode of today's program. Funemploymentradio.com comes up later on today at funemploymentradio.com. Of course, Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler. Thank you guys for joining us today. Happy birthday. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor, advanced technology magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, and of course, chief of staff is Cheryl Kanika with the Rick Emerson Show, made possible by a generous grant from you. It is Friday, Geektober 8th, 2010. Thank you for listening. That is The Frequency, Kenneth. Be safe. See you all on Monday. Have a good weekend. Bye now.